brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
This is experimental, what we're doing here today. Great job to the crew in Austin. Great job to Richard Reeves, driving and getting all this set up, obviously not at the same time. We are live and back in Texas, back in the promised land. Thank you so much. We've just left Waxahachie, Texas, and we are about 3 hours ETA away from the Infowars.com headquarters. We're on the rotting Texas roads because the globalists steal all the money from the surplus that builds roads. I want to turn them all into toll roads. So we are just banging across road warrior level roads here. You travel around the country, just you know how bad Texas roads are, even though we have more money than any other state for highways. It's all stolen by the global crime syndicate on record. You can check that out for yourself. Wow, we have got a huge transmission lined up for you today. I am doing the show live, driving down I-35 that was going to be the NAFTA superhighway till we shot that down. First, it didn't exist. Then the documents came out of the Bilderberg Group meeting and others. And, well, now the whole program is in trouble, and Rick Perry is entering the ash heap of political history. And, again, ladies and gentlemen, we have some big news lined up for you here today, obviously. There are Bilderberg leaks. We got documents the second day at Bilderberg on Friday, and I was too busy talking to other sources, people inside the hotel that worked there, bullhorning, while quite frankly just being completely dead in the water, signing autographs and shaking people's hands, which was great, but it just kept me from doing a lot of things I wanted to do. But it was just so great to see all the liberty lovers that came out and pushed the mainstream corporate dinosaur media into covering it. But in the last 2 days, we had time to read all of these documents. Aaron's read them all. I've scanned over several hundred pages of them. This is from the private government archives of a U.S. senator. And coming up, we're going to have Aaron in a few minutes co-hosting with me, breaking this down. So this is Bilderberg leaks. The only other documents in whole that have leaked are from meetings, the first and second meeting in 54 and 55. Bilderberg themselves let selective amounts of it, about 5-6 years ago, leaked to the BBC so they could brag, Etienne Davignon and others. Yes, we helped set up the European Union out of the coal and steel deal and the Treaty of Rome. Yes, we helped set up NATO as this world government. That's from the mid-50s. We have the 1966 meeting notes from a Oklahoma senator who was there being vetted and groveling and writing notes as the Bilderberg Group is talking, along with the Bilderberg invitee list, letters from the prince who founded it, Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands, the husband of the Queen of the Netherlands, the cousins of the House of Windsor, the Saxe-Coburg-Gothas, all of this. We've got it all. We tried to do a Ustream last night, but the roads were so bad coming back into North Texas that the bus was flying all over the road. This is a lot better. But those choppy Ustreams are up there. That's going to be added to an article Paul Watson is doing right now on the Bilderberg information coming out. So this is going to be big. It's going to be out in the next few hours at Infowars.com. Also, we're going to have Charlie Skelton on in 1 hour. And again, he didn't leave till last night. He just got back in England and worked all the hotel sources, because they didn't know who he was. He was able to stay in the hotel till Thursday morning, and he was able to hand out his card to the staff. They gave none of them tips. They were rude and mean to him, as they always are. Don't look me in the eye, you cockroach. So the staff gave him everything. Our sources have confirmed much of what Skelton said. Skelton confirmed Jim Tucker's thing about them being mad at the protesters, calling us cockroaches. But Skelton has the data from 4 staff that Mitt Romney was there. Not over the weekend, but on Thursday. This is big. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are southbound and down on I-35, pointed straight at Austin, Texas. And if you're watching at PrisonPlanet.tv, you can see the live feed out the front of the InfoWars Command Center. Aaron Dykes is riding shotgun here with me, along with, of course, Richard Reeves and Rob Jacobson, the crew, back in Austin, Texas. They're at the helm in case we have any technical difficulties on our three different backup feeds. Rob Dew is sitting in studio. He'll be giving us his analysis and commentary. And at the bottom of the hour, he'll give us some of the InfoWars.com news headlines, DrudgeReport.com headlines, and other headlines that are breaking analysis and information. We've got a big day. Bilderberg was even more than ever blown wide open. This is as big as the Copenhagen carbon tax emails getting leaked 2.5 years ago. I'm not a big drinking man, but I think there may be some champagne getting popped this evening at the Jones Hacienda. So, good job, Richard. Yeah! Good job. Good job, Sneck. Good job to everybody. Good job, Jacobson. Good job to everybody. Big shout out to all the listeners and supporters, everybody that came out to Bilderberg 2012. Charlie Skelton is joining us in T-minus 50 minutes. Just got off the plane at 3 this morning. Just got up but back to England and said he is ready to roll in T-minus 50 minutes. He's got breaking news. Four different sources inside the hotel say, yes, they saw Mitt Romney bigger than Dallas, Texas. That's at my back. We just drove through. Bigger than Dallas, Texas. There on Thursday, he was doing West Coast events on the days after that. Now, was there other a dark-haired, distinguished-looking gentleman there? Who knows? But Charlie Skelton's proven himself very, very accurate with the London Guardian. And so I tend to think that his four sources are accurate. He confirmed what Jim Tucker told us 3-4 days ago, or I guess 5 days ago now, that when we would bullhorn everybody coming in and they'd see Alex Jones, InfoWars.com, Ron Paul signs, they would get out angry and say, we want to kill Ron Paul, we want to blow him up in an airplane, murder his supporters, we're cockroaches, all of this. Our sources confirmed they were hopping mad when they would come in. We were shaking the hotel with, at one time, seven bullhorns in one spot, daisy chained. The Ustream videos of that are on our channel. In fact, we ought to post that and just say the mother of all bullhorns, powerful videos at InfoWars.com. We need to get those posted. Another on the Ustream. I think they were posted, but not with the headline. I mean, it was just incredible. It was deafening, gave me a migraine headache, brought me to my knees repeatedly. It was like the people's LRAD is what it was called. So we have that with Charlie Skelton joining us. Also, Congresswoman, as you know, points out they're purposefully hiring pedophiles. They're not accidentally hiring them at the TSA. They're putting them in the command positions all over the United States. Who else wants to grab three-year-old girls and boys' crotches? You couldn't pay me $1 billion to do that one time. It is totally perverted and evil and ruining the innocence of a child. But it's the new sacrament in America to have drones, illegal surveillance, and your children molested. Every ancient society demanded that children be turned over for sacrifice. So we aborted 52 million since Roe v. Wade in 73, 74. Well, ruling 73 went into effect 74. It was like a new option. Hey, do the trendy thing, have an abortion. I know my parents didn't have any money. People were like, oh, have an abortion. I was born in 74. But they didn't chop me up. And if you don't want to hear it's a baby, I don't care what you think. These eugenicists want it. That's what it is, okay? Partial birth abortion, all of it. I'm tired of it. Face what it is. We live in denial about that. Now we're living in denial about everything else. We're going to be judged as a nation. If you don't even believe in God, believe in cause and effect, okay? Believe in for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. If you say 52 million babies aren't humans, well, you're going to say torture's okay. You're going to say secret arrest is okay. You're going to say drones and checkpoints are okay. Let me tell you, I've driven all over this country. My entire life, my parents.
I think we lost Alex there for 1 second. Well, he was just getting into a really good rant. I wish he could have gone on with that. We'll be right back to him as soon as he comes back. I'm just going to go ahead and go over a couple headlines. Google warns users they may become collateral damage in cyber war. And this is from Kurt Nemo. It's on Infowars.com. Google announced on Tuesday it will begin displaying a warning to users who the internet giant believe are under state-sponsored malware attack. State-sponsored. I think Jones is right back, so we'll go right back to Jones. Alex, can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Absolutely, I'm back. And Richard, I'm just doing some technical stuff here on air. I continue with me. Richard, this is my access. When it drops, I see the red means it's reconnected. Don't we have a Skype backup hooked up to that? Isn't Aaron's phone a Skype backup?
That's a Skype backup.
But it's hooked to his microphone. Can I grab that mic when I have a problem?
No, that's another mic right there for that.
Okay. Okay, good. So, guys, we also have a Skype backup on the eastbound and down, now southbound and down cam. You guys understand that? At the network.
Yeah, I think you guys got that, right? Yeah.
Okay, roger. Okay, good. Thank you, dude. Yeah, what part did I cut out there? The point is that if you have 52 million abortions, then you say torture's okay, secret arrest is okay, checkpoints are okay, evil's okay, warrantless wiretapping's okay, sterilization of the vaccines is okay, GMO killing all the rats is okay, the honeybees dying is okay, Fukushima blowing up with over 80-something times the radiation of Chernobyl's okay, everything's okay. No, everything's not okay, and we're here to tell you, this is your rude awakening. This is the wake-up call. We want our republic back. So, coming up first, we're going to give you Bilderberg leaks, some of the biggest Bilderberg leak documents ever, the only others that we have at this level that are handwritten notes from the meetings, agendas, official list, their internal memorandum is from the mid-1950s. They themselves leaked it to the BBC, bragging they set up the EU. We have the 1966 meeting. We were given this by a government insider who said, look, I'm giving you these documents because it's got the head of the United Auto Workers meeting in Wiesbaden, Germany, back when Bilderberg was in March every year, not June, selling everybody out. That's coming up at the start of the next segment. Big breaking Bilderberg docs. We've tweeted some of those out today. I took a bunch of photos on the road, emailed them, photos of the documents to Paul Watson. He's working tirelessly. Just an absolute war horse in the fight against the globalists. He's going to have a report out on that in the next hour or so. But again, some of those are up on The Real Alex Jones on Twitter. Aaron Dykes is here, and he's going to be going over the documents audibly on the radio from right over here beside me on the bus as we head back to the InfoWars Center. So is all good there over to the InfoWars headquarters, dude?
Everything's sounding great, Alex. I don't know if you saw this. We broke this yesterday. I guess we didn't break it. It was already out on the newsstand. But Mike Adams pulled up a cover of Time magazine that he had picked up. It says Time. And then all in red and then white letters, How to Die, What I Learned from the Last Days of My Mom and Dad by Joe Klein. Definitely. And if you guys can get a shot of this from the overhead cam, you can actually see it. It's the cover of Time magazine, all it says is How to Die. They're doing one up on A Case for Killing Granny at this point.
Which shows a stretcher with an unplugged plug and Granny dead. And Bill Gates says the teachers union, if we don't give an old woman the last year of her life and smiling, licking his little demonic lips, knowing that they're all about to beg him to kill him, you'll all get 10 jobs. And they go, you idiots.
Yeah.
You grow the economy. There's unlimited wealth. You get into this predatory system. They want a post-industrial world. And these scumbags.
Here's the shot right there. How to Die. Back it up a little bit on the.
They were counterbalanced.
Time magazine, How to Die. What I Learned from the Last Days of My Mom and Dad by Joe Klein. And I was just looking at another article on Drudge, and it was by Joe Klein, and that's what reminded me of that. We covered this last night on the InfoWars Nightly News. We had Mike Adams on to break down what's going on with the Sharon Palmer case with Rawsum Foods and how she's being, they're basically raking her over the coals, doing this from an informant who has false credentials. He's gone through a diploma mill. And I believe we have Alex back. No? Okay. So he's going through a diploma mill to get his diploma. It says he's got a PhD. He's running around telling people he's got a PhD in nutrition. And then he's using that as a way, as a hedge way to get into and talk to the authorities of Ventura County to try and bring charges up against Sharon Palmer of defrauding her investors when they're attacking her so she can't even make a living, thereby can't pay back the investors. So they're calling that fraud. And I believe we have Alex back right now. You could check that out in last night's InfoWars Nightly News. Alex, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go. You're loud and clear.
Okay. Okay. Just to be clear, during the next break, we may go to Skype. We have three backups for XM and all the listeners out there. Experimental radio live from an RV with two Skypes and a 4G. We have a Skype 4G and access unit coming to you with breaking news and analysis after this break. But yes, they're selling us that humans are evil, humans are bad, humans are scum, humans cause all the problems, humans don't have beautiful potential, humans didn't create Beethoven, humans didn't create science and technology and beauty and love and honor and courage. No, humans are ugly and bad, so die, lay down, give in to the globalists, lay down, give up, you're scum, you're trash, you're ugly, you're filth, while they poison the water and the food to make it a self-fulfilling prophecy, while they deluge us with a culture of death to make us a dying society, and as they create a false ancestral memory and predisposition and pre-belief, a self-fulfilling prophecy that we're all dead, all the newsstands, the world without humans, it's coming, how beautiful it's going to be, the end of humanity. You see it all over Discovery Channel, getting you ready for the bioweapon release, the Moonraker scenario, when they go in the underground bunkers. They're preparing their mass murder. Those that come out of the caves will be attacked by Skynet computers. This is the official plan. Mayday emergency situation. Warning to humanity, resist now. Break your trance. Emergency transmission. Bringing back the Bilderberg scoop. Bringing back the Bilderberg poop. No matter what it takes. And Aaron's going to introduce to you in a moment the big Bilderberg leak exclusive. PrisonPlanet.tv, InfoWars.com info. Some of the documents were tweeted out this morning. Paul Watson's got a whole bunch of them. And we'll continue to send him even more after the show when we have time to get him added to the article he's got coming out at InfoWars.com. We've got more of the molestation, the breaking of the will of the American people, TSA Now, savagely ripping on the breast of all women, crushing genitals, hiring hardcore pedophiles to be the commanders of the operations. This is the hell force being released. Hitler did it, Stalin did it, Mao did it, Kim Jong-il does it, they all do it. They hire criminals. They release the hardcore abusers out to be the secret police enforcers on the police and the military as well as the citizens. That's coming up. Now, because of the way this is set up, you won't be able to see Aaron. We showed the documents last night in a live stream that's going to be posted in Watson's article, but it was shaken all over the place. So, again, the scans are going up soon. I want to go ahead and fade Aaron Dykes up. Aaron Dykes riding shotgun here with me in the InfoWars Mobile Command Center. Tell people the magnitude and the basics before we go to break and come back and get into the documents of how big this Bilderberg leaks are from 1966. Much of this exclusive. This is the head of the UAW in there selling out, in there with an Oklahoma senator who's only been in 2 years, like Obama, being vetted, saying, oh, thank you for teaching me about the global government, how bad U.S. sovereignty is, how NATO will take over in the future, oh, the loving global government. And again, it's the list, it's the invitation, it's the talking points, and then it's his handwritten notes from the meetings while the wise men are speaking. This is a big data cache that anything ever leaked out of their feral nest. Aaron Dykes, InfoWars researcher. Aaron Dykes, give us the data that you've got on this. Preface what's coming up. Give us a synopsis of Bilderberg. The Bilderberg leaks. This is a real leak, ladies and gentlemen, right out of...
It's a huge data dump, Alex. Again, it's from the 1966 Bilderberg Conference in Wiesbaden, Germany. That's right outside of Frankfurt, where even today the U.S. consulate is based and where the basis of Western occupation was located. And we've got signed forms from Prince Bernhard, the founder of the Bilderberg Group. Again, as you mentioned, there's wise men, that's U.S. diplomats connected to Skull and Bones, to the robber barons for more than a century. And it is setting up world government. It's pursuing what we know is their lifelong passion and goal, ending national sovereignty for good and bringing to life all their spheres of international bodies, whether it be the GATT Treaty Organization, whether it be branches of the United Nations, whether it be the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, the IMF, and more. They're setting up how to make sure European countries pay money to developed countries for their various schemes. They're also trying to make NATO go hot, not just be kind of a loose organization, but be a binding European Atlantic, that means America and Europe, organization.
Which they got 4 decades later.
That is correct, Alex. And they say it's, A, on the one hand, a militaristic thing to fight the Soviet threat. But even if there is no Soviet threat, they say, we would still need NATO to make sure Europe is contained under basically what is American hegemony.
Now tell us, we're going to come back with all of this. They say national sovereignty is the threat. Got to get rid of it. They don't want to give up their sovereignty to NATO and the EU they're setting up. And they go on in the documents, because he's writing what the world leaders are saying in their speeches, and then he gets up and gives a speech on it as well. And it's all the big wise men. Tell folks about some of the wise men that are in there saying, we need a threat, we need a threat. Tell folks who the wise men are, who are all at the Bilderberg meeting.
Yeah, the wise men are people who worked with Avril Harriman. He's considered one of the wise men. Prescott Bush, both of them, as you know, were caught funding Nazis during World War II. That connects directly with Prince Bernhard in the Netherlands. The banks there in the Netherlands were the intermediary, so they could transfer assets easily
again,
to Nazi Germany.
They weren't really Nazis. I've gotten more sophisticated in my understanding now. They were setting Hitler up. And Lord Milner documents from the 20s have come out where he was master planning this out of the Royal Institute, and Bilderberg was doing his plan, even after he was dead, to set up a new dictator to wreck Europe, who they would actually fund. That's why their factories, General Motors, IG Farben, Opel, could not be bombed by the bombers, because it was all staged. It was all about killing citizens, wrecking everything, and then selling a world government, the UN. And they say that in these documents. This is incredible. It's all coming up straight ahead. The Bilderberg leaks from 1966. And then Charlie Skelton on Mitt Romney.
Coming at you live
from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones.
It's a reliable source of information.
50,000
watts.
Anthrax.
And radio.
Yeah, I know. I'm about a second delayed, so I can't sing along as horribly as I normally do.
And radio.
Ha ha.
I told you they've been lying about that double wide with water rights. And now the town calls are back again.
What have I told you they were lying? What have I told you?
Your friends from Langley are
back. Yeah. I like me some Clutch. I think I'm gonna start my own metal band. That's it. Yeah! Dave Mustang's already talked to me about that. He said he wants to make us some music. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Yeah! Some good music, man, I tell you. All right, I'm sorry, I'm kind of celebrating. I want to thank God here on air that we've had such a devastating victory against the
That is the answer to tyranny.
is courage. Now, occasionally, I just want to tell the network, just whatever we did just now, just be total feedback. I heard everything I'm saying. So whatever's happening there,
I think we're having, we switched to Skype, and then I think that started to feed back into Jones's ear. So this is experimental, and we're doing this, you know, live, and you don't really know how it's going to go out live until you're actually doing it, and you see all the different chains and stuff. We're linked up to the main office up in Minnesota. We're here. Jones and company are on a bus coming down. So it's a lot of crazy stuff going on, but we're making it happen, and I think we have Jones
right
back.
Right here, I've got full...
We have you, Alex.
Too bad. Did my little rant to Clutch not go out?
No, your rant to Clutch did go out, and they are a great band.
All right, good. That's very important. Yeah, that's very important. Very stylish beards as well. All right, now maybe Al-Qaeda. Now, listen, let's get back to what I was saying here, okay? Let's just get back here to this. We're about to give you the big 1966 data dump with Aaron Dykes back there, who's gone over these hundreds and hundreds of pages of documents directly from a secret government archive, the private papers of a senator. We'll go over the names of it, all of it, from the Bilderberg meeting, 1966, Prince Bernhard, all of it. We've got photo shots of that. Watson's got an article coming out soon. Charlie Skelton, the London Guardian, coming up, confirming Mitt Romney was there. This is big. But I want to stop for a moment and talk about Bob Chapman. Bob did die Monday, and I started getting calls at the office. The guys looked and said, no, there was a soccer player named Bob Chapman that died. I went off what they told me. Later, Duke called me and said, no, we found the obituary from yesterday in Florida, and I'm going to have Rob Dew read that obituary here in a moment. I knew 3 months ago he was sick. That's why you stopped hearing him on the Friday show. I said, well, if you're sick, let's just cut back. And then he was on every once in a while, and he was really too sick to do that. Then he said, yeah, I'm coming back to the U.S., but that's private. Then last week, his family announced he was here with pancreatic cancer. I was at Bilderberg, didn't know that was authorized to talk about, so I still didn't. And then I hoped he wasn't dead yesterday, and we were incorrect. He died on Monday, and the obituary came out yesterday. So everybody that was calling us, you are correct. But that's a side issue. The point is, he's dead. And it's very, very sad, and I wish he wasn't dead, obviously. We have a video live feed archive, Bob Chapman, Defender of Life, at Infowars.com, and I'd appreciate everybody to get that video where I eulogize Bob out to everybody, and I do plan to, while we're trying to get all this Bilderberg news collated, we shot in high def, when we get back tonight and things ready for the nightly news, Thursday night, Friday night, maybe even tonight. And while we try to get all these documents ready, we're going to try to go back over almost 15 years, start interviewing Bob in about 97, 98 of Bob together so we can remember Bob properly sometime next week. But that is up there, and he did die. He was down in Mexico, Germany. He was all over the world. Last place he was at was Mexico, and I knew that, but nobody really else did. But Bob is now gone. We love you, Bob. His funny voice, one of my mom's favorite guests. You know, she liked Bob Chapman, and she likes Gerald Celente. And she doesn't like some other people, but I'll just leave it at that. But if my mom likes you, we know you're good. And he's dead, like we're all going to end up being. So defend life, defend the species, defend the future. That's what matters. Everybody comes and goes. But what matters is what we do today and that we're honorable and that we have courage. And Bob had buckets of that. And I love you, Bob. So, happy trails, compadre. Happy trails, my friend. Happy trails, buddy. Again, that's really all I can say. You were a really funny, smart, nice guy who for 45 years, I looked it up, fought the New World Order toe-to-toe. They planted hand grenades on him, death-threatened him, set him up over and over again, and he finally left the U.S., a decade ago, and he came back to die with his family in Florida. So, again, via con Dios, my friend.
And Alex, he died a free man. He didn't die in a prison. He died on his feet.
I'm going to now have Rob Dew give us some comments about Bob Chapman and read from the official statement.
This is
Rob Dew.
This is from the Ott Laughlin Funeral Home, where you can go and actually sign his guest book, which I'll tell you guys what I wrote in a second. But in memory of Robert Chapman, October 16th, 1935 to June 4th, 2012. Robert Bob Chapman, age 76, of Winter Haven, Florida, formerly of Mexico, died Monday, June 4th, 2012, due to pancreatic cancer. He was born October 16th, 1935 in Boston, Massachusetts, the son of John Chapman and Ruth Donnelly Chapman. Bob was a veteran of the U.S. Army, a writer of a newsletter discussing finances and economics, and a regular radio commentator discussing politics, as well as economics and finances. It was the International Forecaster, for those of you who don't know. It was a great newsletter, and a lot of people subscribe to it. Most of his working life, he served as a stockbroker. Bob is survived by his wife of 47 years, Judith Judy Dabrowski Chapman, son Robert Michael Chapman, daughter Jennifer Galati, and her husband Matt, sisters Dorothy Trecker and Joan Lotz, and four grandchildren. Committal services are Wednesday, June 6, 2012 at 1 p.m. at Glen Abbey Memorial Gardens. So they're about to go on, looks like, about 20 minutes. Auburndale, Florida. Condolences may be sent to the family at Off Laughlin Funeral Home. And there's a lot of guest book signings. This is what I wrote. Our condolences to Bob's family. We have lost a great hero and true champion of freedom. He will be missed. We love you, Bob, Alex Jones, and the InfoWars team. And I'm going to submit that now. And you can go read other guest book signings from other people. Lots of people have been signing this. Bob, you'll be sorely missed. I tuned in faithfully to RBN, GCN to catch Bob whenever he was a guest. I feel a personal sense of loss having never met him personally, but that's how much he touched my life. Our condolences to the Chapman family, and thank you for sharing with us these years. We will miss your unparalleled wisdom and knowledge, and delivered with a wonderful, calm voice. And that's one thing I think that we are going to really miss about Bob Chapman, is the way he was able to bring us very serious news about our future. And he did it, you know, with love and compassion and a calmness that I don't know a lot of people could deliver. You know, a lot of people, it's hard. It's hard to take this information being calm, because it's pretty scary out there. But Bob was able to deliver it time and time again, you know, with that calm demeanor and just that steadfastness that he'd been in this fight before, and he knew what he was up against, and he didn't care what the consequences were. And Bob died a free man. And that's what we should all strive to be, is die as free men. We do not want to die on our knees. And if you don't want to die on your knees, you better listen to what Bob Chapman said and go back and listen to these archives and listen to what he was talking about, because the man knew what he was talking about. Alex, that's about all I have to say about Bob Chapman, except that we'll be bringing more to you about Bob. And we'll go back to you now if we are still connected.
Absolutely. Roger. Houston, the Eagle is cruising down 35. You got us there.
We got you. Sounding loud and clear.
Okay. Okay, fantastic. Just so I don't have to do that, guys, you're doing a great job, all experimental. If you're getting me, just, and dude's still talking, you guys just pop in and let me say, you know, Purple Possum, we have you, or Eagle, or whatever cool name you want to give me. Purple Possum's a lot cooler than Eagle, but the point is that
I like Purple Possum.
Roger, that general's pretty good. How about you call me, just say, we got you live, Woodpecker. How's that sound? I'm Woodpecker in the New World Order. That's a better truck driving name, Woodpecker. Wouldn't you agree, Richard? Is that a super? Purple Possum. All right. Supreme Possum. That's our new name. All right. Yeah, Bob, fantastic guy. And it's funny, we have the 60th Jubilee of the wicked globalist Transylvanian Queen, literally 60th of Bilderberg, and Bob dies the day after Bilderberg ends as they're being devastated. And I know Bob's looking down from Valhalla, very, 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 very happy today. All right, we got Skelton coming up in minutes. We got to get started now with the data dump with Aaron Dykes right now, with the Bilderberg documents, 1966. Aaron, recap it, why these are so important, that they say national sovereignty is bad, let NATO, UN take over, use the threat of war as the pretext, as they use World War One, World War Two. Who the senator was, the meeting, the wise men. Aaron Dykes, you have the floor until we go to break. Aaron Dykes, Bilderberg, leaks, big breaking news. exclusive to InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, streaming video at PrisonPlanet.tv. Aaron Dykes.
What we have, Alex, is a gigantic data dump from 1966, the Wiesbaden Bilderberg Conference in Germany, right outside of Frankfurt. It is a skeleton key to foreign policy, how we've been infiltrated and taken over within the United States by people who abhor the United States, who want to destroy it from within. Now, you got to understand history. Going back, the robber baron... Revolution. The public hated them, but they learned how to use public relations to set up foundations that not only accelerated their power, but also gave them a good
Okay, as is with experimental radio, sometimes we do have dump outs, and as we're going with the data dump from Bilderberg, we had another dump out. So we'll get back to Aaron as soon as we can. We've got another 2 hours and 15 minutes of the show left. And if not, you know we're going to bring this information to you in high quality. We're just trying to get it out now as they're riding back in from Bilderberg over a week and a half been gone, actually. It's been a quiet office. But we've been working here hard, very hard. We've been... getting the nightly news out to you guys as best we can, trying to find the stories that we think are going to matter to you guys out there the most. And it's been a lot of fun. Of course, we lost Bob Chapman, another hero and champion was Tom Crier, and I had something here from him. He also died on the same day as Bob Chapman, which is really odd when you have two champions of freedom. Fall on the same day. He had been targeted by the IRS. He beat them in court, and then he went on to find truthattack.org and was a fighter. We had he was interviewed by Alex many times. I think we found an interview from 2009 yesterday, and we're also going to give a tribute to Tommy Crier. In our world, obviously, a lot of people knew Bob Chapman a lot more because he was here pretty much every Friday, as long as I've been here. Friday was Bob Chapman Day. And in fact, our calendar, if you look on any of our calendars that had people listed, Bob Chapman was there every Friday for the last hour of the show, sometimes even 2 hours. And it was really a pleasure to listen to him go on about his battles, all the stories he had. If you tuned in, you know, he coached Martin Sheen's kids and soccer. I mean, you know, where do you learn that? But on this show, it was crazy. He saw some interesting video of Ronald Reagan. That was a very interesting show. If you want to go look up the archives on that one. But anyway, let's move on. I've got some more news here. This is out of Washington's blog. Fukushima, Pacific Ocean will not dilute dumped radioactive water. The operator of the stricken Fukushima nuclear power plant has been dumping something like 1,000 tons per day of radioactive water in the Pacific Ocean. Remember that reactors are riddled with meltdown holes. Building 4, with more radiation than all the nuclear bombs ever dropped or tested, is missing entire walls, and Building 3 is a pile of rubble. The whole complex is leaking like a sieve, and the rivers of water being pumped into the reactors every day are just pouring into the ocean. So you can go read the full article there on Washington's blog, and they have a shot. There's a shot of the radiation plume that is now, wow, look, there's Hawaii right there. So it's, and that's crazy because Hawaii is a beautiful paradise, beautiful weather. I've never been there myself, but I've talked to several people who have lived there, and they said it is unlike any place on earth. And hopefully they won't be too messed up from this, but it looks like it's coming their way. We went over the Google article. There's Bob Chapman. Here's an interesting one. Okay. Oh yeah. There's the graphic. Oh, there's floating at, wow. That's basically hitting Mexico and then it's flowing back up. It's just kind of rotating there in the ocean, man. Wow. Look at that. I tell you, technology is very amazing at the things that we can look at from a different viewpoint and see these things over a long range. You know, this is not short range. So it looks like it brushed up against California. Now it's just going to kind of sit out there in the middle of the Pacific Ocean between the U.S. and Hawaii. Man, that is tremendous. San Francisco to get pre-crime surveillance cameras. This is from Paul Joseph Watson, and you can find this on InfoWars.com. System alerts authorities to suspicious behavior. And we know they put stuff out. What is suspicious behavior? That's wearing a hoodie. That is talking on a cell phone. That's taking photos. That's holding a notebook. That's paying with cash. Any of those things would be considered suspicious behavior under their mantra. So, you know, do you breathe air? Do you drink water? Hundreds of pre-crime surveillance cameras are to be installed in San Francisco's subway system that will analyze suspicious behavior and alert guards to potential criminal or terrorist activity before any crime has been committed. So let's say you go up to, you're looking this way, you're looking that way. Where's my train coming? Is it coming this way? Is it coming? Wow, that's suspicious behavior. That could be suspicious behavior, looking both ways. What if you did it fast? You're a terrorist. All of a sudden, you're a terrorist. We're going to be back with more. We've got Alex and Aaron and the crew bolting down the highway back to the command center. And it's InfoWars.com. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm Rob Dew sitting in.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends.
All right, this is the Bilderberg Buster, Big Daddy Alex, riding down the road here. Third hour after Skelton and our TSA guests leave us with the Mitt Romney news at Bilderberg at InfoWars.com and the London Guardian as well. Well, it's CA dot whatever. You can find it. It's easy. Just type in Charlie Skelton. He's coming up in about 5 minutes, and then we'll get into these incredible documents in more detail coming up in the third hour today. Coming to you experimentally. It's working pretty darn well. Having a few hiccups here as we roll down the road. Rob Dew riding shotgun up there when we have technical problems. I'm going to hand the microphone back to Aaron Dykes. We're on our emergency backup right now. Aaron, again, well, this is a big deal. Explain to people who the senator is, what these show, the handwritten notes, Watson's article coming out here soon.
Right, we got a huge data leak from the 1966 Wiesbaden, Germany, Bilderberg Conference. It's from the private library of Senator Fred Harris. He's an Oklahoman senator. He was in office about 2 years when he got it invited personally by Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands. We have a signature on the document inviting him out to Germany, and he was getting a re-education in how great
and it's all marked.
Is.
It's all marked restricted.
It's all marked restricted, but we got it because of a leak through a union worker who wanted to expose that the union was meeting there, along with David Rockefeller, all the top Europeans, and the rest of it. And it's clear they hate nationalism. It's literally in the handwriting of Senator Fred Harris's notes, page after page of diplomat after diplomat bashing sovereignty. One of the biggest of those is John J. McCloy. He's a Skull and Bones member, a top wise man, a acolyte under Avril Harriman and his buddy Prescott Bush, who literally founded Nazis, funded Nazis and founded them with Prince Bernhard. Both John J. McCloy and Prince Bernhard were on the I.G. Farben board. John J. McCloy, of course, was a lawyer to I.G. Farben. That's the big industrial backbone of the Nazi mechanism, which was really just to get the European Union underway, bind them all together. And they talk repeatedly about how awful nationalism is, how people like de Gaulle of France were reviving nationalism, how it might spread to Germany. And repeatedly talks about how we can't go back to a pre-1914 mentality. That means before World War I, when they began formal world government mechanisms. Now, in 1966, I've been able to examine the documents now. They were looking to strengthen NATO. That's the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Today, that is the military that launches the wars in Libya, about to watch a war in Syria. But back then, they were trying to make it a viable opposition to the Soviet threat, but also to help integrate Europe more and more. This apparently is the better microphone. Now,
I don't know. There's two mics. I'm shoving them both in your face.
That's now, the better mic.
Again, we have notes here about how awful nationalism is, about how going back to a pre-1914 mentality is very dangerous. And again, they're meeting in Wiesbaden, Germany, 1966. We have the leaks from Bilderberg, signatures from Prince Bernhard, the founder, and the rest of them. And it explains how they were trying to reorganize NATO to make it a stronger military body, but also to use it as a mechanism to integrate Europe. Furthermore, they were meeting on the future of world economic development, both in the industrial and so-called developing world. That's one of the big reasons why the union head, the biggest head of the United Auto Workers, Walter P. Reuther, was there, meeting with the United Nations Conference and Trade and Development Organization, the International Ford Foundation, the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, GATT, you name it. All the important players were there. The capitalists meet with the so-called union socialists, all to bring about world government. They wanted to make it big time. This is a snapshot in time.
We're talking about the synthesis here. Good. I'm taking us out here. Are we Roger over, ladies and gentlemen?
You are on.
All right. Fantastic. All right. Charlie Skelton, straight ahead. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We have two big breaking news items here for you. One of them is bombshell and contemporary to our time. Charlie Skelton, excellent record of amazing sources and accuracy, has four sources from inside the hotel after they were treated like total garbage, not given tips, told not to look in Bilderberg's eyes, say that Mitt Romney was there. We know he was on the West Coast doing fundraisers Saturday and Sunday. That doesn't mean he wasn't there Thursday. We saw lots of Secret Service, machine guns, Marines, all the standard garbage when Hillary and Obama were there 4 years ago at the same hotel. He's going to be with us for at least 30 minutes with that breaking news. Then I'm talking to the Big Guardian. They can get this out. The BBC reported years ago on leaks from the 54 and 55 meetings that only happened 5-6 years ago on their meetings about wanting an EU and a big NATO. We got the 66 documents from the internal archives from a leaker who's angry about the big unions, the United Auto Workers, inside there in 66 selling them out. And a few of these are the hundreds of pages we were able to look up had already been released by others who were at the meeting. These are the private papers of the senator from Oklahoma. We're going to be talking about that with Charlie as well, hoping that The Guardian gets it out because it'll go worldwide at that point. InfoWars has Watson breaking it in a matter of minutes. Charlie Skelton, I salute you. We're about to go to break. Some stations don't carry this segment, so we'll recap after the break. But you just got back last night, slept a few hours. You're gracious to come on, writing for The Guardian. Charlie, what can you say in synopsis of this year before we go to break and come back with the Mitt Romney news?
Well, just very briefly, what a lot of energy there was. I mean, you were there, you saw it. I mean, incredible. I mean, just a difference again. It keeps going exponentially up in terms of the amount of activists, the amount of reporting that goes on. It was just incredible energy, incredible noise, incredible warmth of the crowd, and just, you know, a great time.
Do you think Bilderberg's happy from all of your sources inside? According to you and your sources, Tucker's sources and my sources, the Bilderbergs have never been this angry, frothing mad.
I get the sense that is true, and I feel a bit bad. I mean, right at the end, the Bilderberg staff, you may have seen this photo, were lining up to have their final, you know, kind of souvenir snap. And just at that moment, up walks, you know, Luke Radowski and with a camera and... then some people from We Are Change or what have you, and sort of taking their photo, getting their own souvenir. And, you know, I just felt like, I've almost felt sorry for them at that point because, you know, it was the amount of pressure that was put on them from outside, the amount of pressure to have this story break has been considerable this year. And I think it's...
But our source confirmed that they were rooting for you, myself, and others inside watching us on video feeds, that the staff actually loved it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously... They've been given the three-line whip to stay quiet, but you know some of them don't stay quiet, and some of them have been talking, and it's very interesting the stuff you can pick up. I tell you that much.
Well, this is absolutely incredible. We're going to break, Charlie, here in a minute or two. When we come back, I'm going to give you the floor on your big Mitt Romney story, but other tidbits you're going to be covering when we come back.
Oh yeah, I've got just a few little bits and bobs just from the staff. A little bit of it's just interesting that getting a little bit of colour from inside, you know, just to give you. I mean, I can't believe we're reduced to this, but you know, I have got some you know, little things which are interesting. You know, nothing. Obviously, there's the Romney. which, you know, I think it is big, and it's been picked, you know, starting to be picked up. There's a guy, Kenneth Vogel from Politico.com, who's just tweeted it. So it's now sort of, you know, the mainstream is sniffing around it.
Well, I have sources high up in the media, and they say that Romney's people told him a week ago he was not going to be attending. Well, really 2 weeks ago and then again a week ago. And so if they are lying to even media that's been quasi-friendly to them, that is really a bad move.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, now this, you know, I mean, this story does depend upon the eyewitness accounts. But, these are four eyewitnesses, four separate people. Three of
them. No. They've proven very accurate in the past. Absolutely. And I've got more people I've got to run down. Stay there. Charlie Skelton straight ahead. Big story. Mitt Romney, Bilderberg 2012. He's with The Guardian. Google his names. Charlie Skelton. I feel like an astronaut or something. They've got me running two Skypes, a Comrex. I'm texting to communicate with them. I mean, actually, astronaut, that's about 100 times harder. But I tell you, I'm getting to where I just don't blow up like I used to. I'm kind of getting used to this. I love going on the road, Richard. And now that we can just drive while we do it, now you're talking. Charlie Skelton, we salute his work in the last 4 or 5 years covering Bilderberg. He's come a long way from first reporting on it to see if it was even real, to being arrested, detained, harassed, going down the rabbit hole. He just got back to Britannia, back to Airstrip 1 last night to the UK, got a few hours sleep and is joining us. He's got big breaking news. He got a bunch of sources inside. He handed out.
Hey, Rob. All right. I think once again, we've had another little glitch. We were talking to him all during break, too, and that was coming loud and clear. All right, here he goes. Okay, go ahead, Alex. Back. Go ahead.
We're back. Again, hurtling down the road here. He has sources inside. Four sources, Mitt Romney inside. Obama said he wasn't in Bilderberg 4 years ago. Now they admit it. So this is big. Also, Mitch Daniels, who the Bilderberg group likes. That doesn't mean absolutely it's going to happen, but Bill Clinton, Tony Blair, George Herbert Walker Bush. Charlie Skelton of the London Guardian, you've got the floor. Give us the data dump of what's in your article, other little tidbits that aren't in the big Guardian story going viral right now, Mitt Romney at Bilderberg 2012. Before I give you our big data, and we've got the documents, the 1966 minutes of the meeting. So Charlie Skelton, London Guardian.
Well, I'm very excited about the 1966 minutes, but I'm just going to say that, yeah, we were there in the hotel after the event. As it kind of winds down, you know, it's a big event, takes a lot of organization, so there's a lot of people still milling around. Anyway, we spoke to, you know, just had a chat. We had a chat to some of the hotel staff, and I've got four eyewitnesses that placed Mitt Romney inside the hotel during Bilderberg. And I want to just point this out, that three of those eyewitnesses also confirmed Bill Gates, and that's also been confirmed by the Washington Post as well, who saw him, and a lot of activists saw him come out. So you know, take that for as much seriousness as you want. I mean, I believe them. I said, you know, are you sure?
Well, he wasn't on the list.
They said, yep, he was it. It was Mitt Romney. So, you know, I had it confirmed four times, and yeah, they're not on the list. So, as I said in my piece, I mean, can we just stop talking about this list as if it's the be all and end all? Yes, it's very interesting, and it tells you pretty much most of the people who are there. But there's always people they bring in, you know, from the outside, who don't want to be on the list.
Charlie, that's a fabulous point you make, that you've usually got about 125, 130 that are on the list, but there's usually 20, 30, 40, sometimes even 50 who aren't, and they're the most important. Chinese ambassadors, Obama, Hillary. And yes, I saw Bill Gates, couldn't get it snapped properly because I was busy bullhorning. Many others. I saw Kissinger. We did get a photo of him. But Gates and Romney both were not on the list, but we know Gates was there because the Washington Post has now been blown. They've always been there since 54. They now have to admit that people like Charles Krauthammer and others have been there, and they were indeed there, and Gates was there. So just amazing information where now even the globalists are scooping themselves, because the alternative media, forced by the drudgereport.com, London Guardian, and others. I've got to say, the Drudge Report, London Guardian, Washington Times, you guys, even more than Infowars.com and the protesters, finally rammed the door down. But please continue.
Yeah, well, I'm just, how pleased was I when my editor at the Guardian sent another journalist, you know, a journalist from Washington, to turn up as well. And, you know, he went through a similar, you know, he didn't really know much about Bilderberg. He turned up, you know, 3 days later, you know, he's coming up to speed on this whole thing. And you can, he went through his own kind of super fast education, you know, because there's so many, you go there and it's, the whole thing is an education. I mean, it was extraordinary. There's people like you or Webster Tarpley just standing around outside, you know, people that know a lot of stuff, you know, about this. So there's an amazing kind of information sharing. And, you know, we met some really incredible people. As usual, every time we go to Bilderberg, we meet, you know, people who are incredibly switched on, incredibly up to speed with their global politics and their global history. And, you know, it's just a joy to spend time around those people for a week. I tell you what's not a joy, though. You're spending time in, it had a very, you know, it was a warm energy outside, but also there's a dark energy to Chantilly. You know, this thing is surrounded by these vast, shiny arms companies. And, you know, you go inside and you sit in the hotel and you just listen to people from NASA or people from, you know, General Dynamics just talking about the sort of military contracts that are being, you know, divided up, 30 million here, whatever. And, you know, and they say, oh, yes, he left the army and went to L3 and then he's back at CACI. And it's just this vast whirlpool of bad money sloshing, of infinitely large money sloshing around this the venue today. It's a very strange, you know, last year it was up in the Alps. It was beautiful. You could stare at the mountains. This year you could stare at the front of General Dynamics. So, yeah.
And a giant NSA substation, and a giant NSA substation. Now, give us more about the Mitt Romney, what this means, specifically what your sources said to you, the little tidbits, the little giblets.
The little giblets. Well, I mean, the main thing, I just wanted that confirmed, and because, you know, it's very difficult, because then you have to speculate. People say, well, look, you're just, you know, what are you doing, theorizing? Yeah, of course we are. You know, we've got our best, we've dug in, we've got our best bit of information. That's, you know, that's as good as a piece of information as you can get. So now you have to speculate. You know that Governor Daniels was there. And, you know, that makes you, you know, that's what Webster Tarpley was saying. He thinks that they want a Romney-Daniels ticket. But, you know, it rather depends upon how, you know, Mitt Romney went down at dinner. You know, did he perform well? Did he say the right things? Did he shake the right hand? You know, I mean, we'll see, you know, obviously time will tell.
That's what we've gotten. In fact, if we can move the next guest to 40 after, I've got to get all the data that Charlie can give us. But I've got to have Aaron brief him as well on this U.S. Senator's notes. He's still alive, from his private library in the National Archives, smuggled out to us with never distribute, never publish, restricted, copyright all over it. Hey, you're at a meeting making policy, buddy. We're releasing all this. And this is big, because it shows him writing notes saying, you know, on the meetings documents, oh, thank you, sirs, for teaching me. And it's the wise men and the rest of it. We're going to get to that after the break. But Charlie Skelton, what else can you tell us about Mitt Romney there, and what else your sources told you about calling us cockroaches? Because my sources confirmed that was our name that they gave us, but that also they didn't give people tips, and they were very, very angry that the Bilderberg Group was particularly surly.
Yeah, we heard also that the Bilderberg Group were bugging the, this is from the staff, were bugging the staff's phone. We also, very interesting, I mean, this I don't know. I spoke to a lot of the people who cleaned the rooms, and all of them were on vacation, it seems. I couldn't find one that was working at the weekend. So I get the sense that they get rid of the cleaners, because they don't want people going into their rooms, and they bring in their own, which is slightly bizarre, but it's an interesting bit of, if it's true, which I think, you know, my straw poll suggests that it was. There's an interesting, you know, a little bit of backstory for how it all works. But yeah, no, it's interesting. We could see things like Niall Ferguson, the historian, the guy who's, you know, Kissinger's official biographer, very much one of them, you know, coming out with a copy of Cheng Li's book on China, Cheng Li, the Brookings Institute, who is there. So, you know, they've been discussing China. The Chinese delegates are there again this year, being bussed in. So Yeah, it's you know, we're getting a sort of a little bit of the sense of what they're discussing. Obviously, we have to piece this together, you know, with what we can. But it was just so great to see people pushing so many different sides. You know, people like Press for Truth or We Are Change and, you know, InfoWars. And everyone just sort of knocking on the door. And the more you push, the more you hear, you know, the more you pick up. So, you know, stuff like the cockroaches thing, which I was genuinely quite shocked when I heard it. But, you know, the guy, there was a guy there, Sky Adams, who's a live streamer, who just said, you know what, they're calling us cockroaches. Well, we're indestructible. And the cockroaches, you can't get rid of them. They keep coming back. So, you know, there's a spin there. Hello?
Can you hear me now, Charlie?
Yeah, I can hear you. I didn't know when you left me.
No, you were there. Fantastic points. I want to confirm that 4 years ago when I was inside for days before they kicked us out, and this year I confirmed, we even had dinner with some of the staff, I'll just leave it at that, very late at night, that they told the staff your phones are tapped, and they had NSA and private contractors, and I witnessed this with my own eyes 4 years ago, in there listening to people in the hotel from the site. And that's why they like it, is because they can bring in all the NSA people on the scene. And we had our cell phones running down double time. That's how you know, too, when they're tapping your phone.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, one of the people also at the hotel, I mean, I'm not going to say which people, but, you know, because I don't want them losing their job. But one of them said, we got chatting, and he was saying, yeah, there's, you know, 200 to 300 security inside the hotel. I mean, it's a very, very high-tech, highly staffed security operation. And I'll tell you what, one little interesting thing. Late on the Sunday, we were just standing at the back gate, and a dark-windowed SUV and a huge coach comes out, just blasts out of the back door, a big black-tinted coach. And we looked at the company that ran the coach, and it's an entertainment company. So I think they had some entertainment. Somebody sang at their supper. I don't know who, but I'd be curious to know.
You know, yeah, they do that. I saw that big.
Sorry?
Absolutely. I saw that big black. I saw the big black bus or coach that you were talking about back there. Continuing here, what are some of the other tidbits concerning them being mean to the staff, not tipping them?
Yeah, and also not talking to them. You know, I think they keep a distance. You know, they don't even have their own. They have their own cleaning staff. So I don't think they're a fun bunch. You know, I really don't get that sense. You know, it's a very serious event. People often talk about it as, you know, oh, they're just having a knees up. It's a bit of a jolly, and you know, no, it's really not. It's a tightly scheduled conference for 3 days. You know, I want to ask a member of the mainstream news media to tell me.
Stay there.
Nope. Okay.
We're going to cover it when we come back. We're going to cover it when we come back. One foot on the brake, one foot on the gas. Ha ha. Don't tell Richard about this song. You'll get this bus up to 95, baby. Doesn't have racing stripes on the side for nothing. Al Gore, Kiss My Footprints, Big Old Petunia. Yeah, crank it up with some Sammy Hagar. Yeah, Bilderberg. You know, the judge said, just one more, boy. And none of the state troopers got us either. It's even better. I got written up for 90 the other day. They didn't catch me 20 seconds before at 125. I'm just joking. Trying to act tough, folks. 55! Yeah! All right. Charlie Skelton with us. About another 15 minutes or so. Very gracious to do that, London Guardian reporter. Charlie, this is a short segment. I want to come back and have Aaron brief you in the next on our big breaking news. You're welcome to data mine. As soon as we get it back, we're going to scan them all in. We'll send them to you. We want to share this to the world. But any other tidbits in this short segment that people need to know about from Bilderberg 2012 that are important?
I think the most important thing, just to finish what I was saying last time, is I'd like people to name a an event, a political event, that these people stay longer at. You know, they're here for 3 or 4 days. That's how important it is. You know, people don't spend, people like the head of Barclays or the Lord Chancellor don't spend that long at Christmas. Anyway, but the, yeah, in terms of how of important things, I just think that it's worth talking about the lady from the Syrian National Council for a moment, because she's an interesting character, and it's very interesting. You only have to dig into her background a little. This lady, she's called Basma Kodmani, and she's listed as an international delegate. And we've got a photo of her coming out, and you know, she's straight up and down Council on Foreign Relations. You know, she works for the Syrian National Council. She's the executive director of the Arab Reform Initiative, which is admitted on the Council on Foreign Relations' own website that it's a CFR project. You know, they say they set it up in 2005 and they hand over the financial reins to the Centre for European Reform, which is worth looking up if you want to do some Googling. People, there's your homework, Centre for European Reform. But anyway, so it's very interesting to see the Syrian opposition being run out of Washington, and being, and clearly that's been very, very high up the agenda this year at Bilderberg. And, you know, and I said, I had the weird thing of just sitting there in the hotel after they'd left, looking up at the bar and the screen in the bar, and seeing Fouad Ajami, who's a Bilderberger, up on CNN talking about how it's going to be, you know, as bloody as Libya in Syria. So, you know, I feel like it's been, I think some things got signed off this weekend. To look her up, just look her up and look at her background, and look at the background of the Syrian National Council and how it was put together, and who are the people that are the spokespeople for it. And, you know, they're just...
And Charlie, that photo you posted of her in your Guardian story yesterday was just amazing, and just incredible how angry she was with her arms crossed, one of the few limos that didn't have dark enough windows. And you see them 6, 7, 8 years ago preparing the fake opposition, funding al-Qaeda to attack Syria, then saying we've got to invade Syria, they're al-Qaeda, blowing up police stations, engaging in massacres, and then just like throwing babies out of incubators, that wasn't true. Hillary's up there again saying we've got to invade, boots on the ground. Green light, not just air bombardment, but ground invasion of Syria, the big ally of Iran. This shows the whole agenda. And you go back decades and you get their documents, they really are planning our world. And they're in there in all these little break-off meetings, bid rigging, getting money, price fixing, getting government contracts. I mean, this is the real global mafia, Charlie.
Yeah, and this is what Webster Tarpley says. You know, that's why they've got the Russians there. They've got Garry Kasparov. You know, they've got a sort of Anatoly Chubais, and they've got a kind of slightly anti-Putin group of Russians there who they can work with, to, because they're going to need some Russians. They're going to need a sort of power block within Russia to go into Syria. It's not totally straightforward. You know. So anyway, he thinks that's a scary sign as well, for Syria.
Well, yeah, Kasparov's been trying to overthrow over there. And again, I'm not saying Putin's a great guy, but he's not the bankers over here running my country. He isn't putting 30,000 drones in the sky. He didn't have TSA groping old ladies and molesting children and hiring child molesters. Incredible information. Charlie Skelton, London Guardian. Mitt Romney, his big article going viral at Bilderberg 2012. Coming up, breaking news. The Bilderberg leaks. Infowars.com exclusive.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man.
There are liberty lovers and defenders of truth and justice all across this world, and from myself and the crew at Infowars.com, we salute the people that came from England, Germany, Canada, all over the U.S., Hawaii, California, Michigan, Texas, Louisiana, Maine, Thousands were there over the 5 days. It had to be about 700 at one time when it peaked Saturday evening, or was it Friday night? It was just incredible. As many as 20 bullhorns going are all around the building, seven at one time. Charlie Skelton, the London Guardian, is our guest. It's just gone up at Infowars.com. We worked last night and this morning with Paul, but we only sent him because of being on the road with internet, I don't know, 10, 15 photos. We're going to be adding more. We're going to add scans as a PDF as soon as we get back to this. Leaked Bilderberg documents, nationalism is dangerous. Infowars exclusively obtained senators' notes from 1966 confab. I'm going to have Paul add minutes. It's invitations. It's minutes. It's talking points. It's his notes on people's speeches. What was discussed there? I mean, it's hundreds and hundreds of pages. Aaron's barely had time to read over it. It's blowing Aaron completely away. I wanted him to give Charlie Skelton a report now. This is only the beginning. In fact, we need to get added to Paul's article, a editor's note. I know Paul's listening, that this is only the beginning. This is only a snapshot. This is the Bilderberg WikiLeaks. This is really this is big. There's hundreds of pages of this. Aaron was up all night. We were up live streaming, connecting all this, confirming documents. A few of these documents were already released or in other national archives, just a few of the hundreds of pages. Aaron had a whole backpack full of stuff people were giving him. Aaron, we got to get a hold of that guy. He even had more. I don't know why we didn't. Nobody's bad, but I never heard the whole full story on. We only got part of it. And the guy, but I mean, the point is, this is amazing. This is amazing what we've got. Bernhard's invitations, the big Nazi, the beginning of it. Nationalism's bad. The head of the United Auto Workers, that's why we were given this by the union. They are really mad that they now are learning that the union sold them out in the 60s. Of course you did. It's not that unions are good or bad. They could be a force for good. They're for socialism, open borders, gun control, and their leaders are for NAFTA and GATT. They've been taken over. I would be for the unions of 100 years ago against the robber barons. Charlie Skelton, I'm going to have Aaron brief you here and going to give you guys the floor here because you know I'll jump in. But do you have any comments about this data link? Because quite frankly, InfoWars is playing this down. This is much bigger than even Watson's headline. I don't blame him with us just sending him, you know, snapshots of this and stuff, not understanding the full magnitude of it. But this is big, Charlie. What do you think of what we just said?
Well, I'm very excited. I haven't seen my internet is currently down. Thank you very much, Virgin Media. I'm waiting with bated breath. It sounds like an amazing resource you've got your hands on. And you get it out there, and there's so many people that know so much about Bilderberg around the world that they will be able to pick it apart and, you know, pick out the highlights. And as you're doing yourself, picking out the significant little bits, because you can learn so much from these sorts of documents. You can actually get, you know, I did my little bit this year to try and steer people back towards the early documents, because you can get such an understanding of what's going on from proper, you know, declassified cabinet papers and, you know, Pentagon reports, et cetera, the stuff that just leaks out. But you've got a slightly later leak. That's really good. And, I'm very, very excited, obviously. And, people like Tony Gosling from, you know, Bilderberg.org, he's going to be looking at that and reporting on that, I'm sure. So many experts will be picking
absolutely. Absolutely. Aaron Knight,
I urge all your listeners and viewers to just start looking back. A lot of these documents are online, and just start piecing together, if they haven't already, you know, the links between the foundations and the intelligence services and Bilderberg and you know, the CIA. And it's a dark place, but it's worth looking into.
That's right. Some of this stuff has leaked out in private archives and government archives. This has never been released. It's got the government red letter photocopying not to be released and all the rest of it. But let's fade up Aaron Dykes to give you a quick 10-minute report or so, and to be fair to our next guest, we should just move him to the next hour to really give him the floor of this breaking news on TSA. If he can't do it, that's fine. We'll do it tomorrow. Aaron Dykes, you've got the floor. Give the data dump to Charlie Skelton of The Guardian.
Well, Charlie, I'm glad you mentioned doing our homework, because that's, of course, what we have to do. We essentially know the links. This is Skull and Bones. These are the robber baron foundations who set up things like the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace and the other foundation bodies to carry their world government quest forward, even as they tried to spin things and draw attention away from their massive wealth and power. But these documents come from 1966 from the private library collection of Senator Fred Harris. He's out of Oklahoma, and he was a second-year senator, ended up being a two-term senator. There he is at Bilderberg, personally invited by Prince Bernhard. We have the signature and the letterhead where he was invited, and he's being re-educated by all these dignitaries, so forth and so on, about how nationalism is dangerous. He's got it underlined in his handwritten notes under headers from each different speaker. Nationalism is dangerous, with emphasis on is. Other things like NATO is in trouble because common fears are reduced, and we know what this is all about because Prince Bernhard himself spelled out the two-part agenda in the 1966 briefing. It was A, reorganizing NATO, and B, the future of world economic development, particularly amongst industrialized versus deindustrialized nations. As you know, that means strengthening and building up funding for IMF, for the U.S. Agency for International Development, for the United Nations different arms, and the rest of it, the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, GATT, all the rest of these bodies were in attendance on the meeting. They're on the official list. And of course, as we mentioned, Walter P. Reuther, the head of United Auto Workers, the biggest union at the time, he was also presiding over the International Conference for Free Trade. And he boasts that he has more than 60 million workers at his hands crafting policy. They set up that year in 1966 the Wage Price Control Board, different mechanisms. But the irony is you've got these socialists for unions, which Alex mentioned could be good, but they're controlled by people like David Rockefeller, supposedly the top capitalist, meeting side by side with them, and that is what they're pursuing. And we also see them trying to strengthen these international bodies overall. They talk about NATO, how it's not only...
Are we going? Okay, it looks like we lost him again. I'm Rob Dew, sitting shotgun here in the Central Texas Command Center, while Aaron, Alex, Rob Jacobson, and Richard Reeves are barreling down the highway. They've been everywhere.
Another mic.
They've been all through. Did we get them back? I hear them in my ear now. Okay.
Yeah, we have them. The microphone came unplugged. So just, I'll do it. It's XLR. All right, go ahead. Finish your point there, Aaron.
Okay, are we live right now?
Yes, you're
go
live.
Ahead. Go ahead.
They are not only talking about how to build up international development mechanisms, they explicitly talk about using those mechanisms to control the food supply and pursue population reduction. They also talk about how NATO needs to be, quote, reorganized, not only as a militaristic opposition to the Soviet Union, but as a way to further integrate Europe. They talk about that explicitly in the documents. That's from one Robert S. Bowie. He's a trilateral CFR Bilderberger, you name it. He's also a John J. McCloy acolyte who also spoke at the conference, just obsessively talked about how dangerous nationalism is, how we cannot revert to a pre-1914 mentality, talked about how de Gaulle reviving nationalism in France was so dangerous, how it could spread to Germany, and on and on. John J. McCloy was not only a Skull and Bones member, he was the head of a number of very powerful organizations from the World Bank. He was a lawyer to the IG Farben Combine that was the backbone of the Nazi mechanism, and he was the chair of Chase Manhattan Bank, the chair of the Ford Foundation, the chair of the Council on Foreign Relations. He was even on the Warren Commission, and that's just one example of some of the most important people at this meeting. We had the list, Zbigniew Brzezinski, among others, at attendance in 1966. And as you well know, Charlie, all the stuff with Prince Bernhard being at the very top of the IG Farben board during and before World War II connects directly with Hal Harriman, Prescott Bush, and other top Anglophiles, most of them connected to Skull and Bones, were financing and backing the Nazi mechanism for their own gain to unify Europe in the long run, also, of course, to profiteer off of it. The Netherlands banks were the intermediary so that no matter who won the war, they could quickly shift the assets, avoid blame, and basically avoid all prosecution.
Wow. Any comments on what he just broke down for you there?
That's amazing. I mean, just a couple of things that jumped out was, obviously the IG Farben thing, which is, the more that's looked into, the better. And, this is a dark company. They had IG Auschwitz, massive factory next to Auschwitz. I mean, they produced Zyklon B. I mean, it doesn't get worse than that. And but you mentioned the control of the food supply. I mean, isn't, and you've got Kissinger sitting there, isn't he the guy who suggested using food as a weapon?
State Department Memorandum 200, 1973, CIA Joint Memorandum adopted as U.S. policy by the executive branch via the Carnegie Endowment for Peace. Peace means when we're all dead.
And that's not it.
That's why you talk about why they're so serious, and that's why they're so evil and focused. These are eugenicists. The Queen, her father, the British royals, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers and their secret eugenics meetings, funding the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute, funding eugenics, funding racial sterilization laws in 34 states in the U.S. This is it. These are monsters. We've got to remember that. Yes, Charlie.
And I would just like to add that the document explicitly talks about the U.S. Agency for International Development being the one to pursue this population reduction. That is what Henry Kissinger is talking about in his Food as a Weapon document, NSM 200. He was talking about using USAID.
That's really incredible.
Go ahead, Charlie.
I'm looking forward to it. Like, it's a good thing. I'm looking forward to looking at that. I mean, that's extraordinary. And, wow. I mean, so much information coming out. And, you know, this attack on the, you know, the reason why that they're attacking nationalism, one of the reasons, you know, they hate any kind of patriotic feeling. And because, you know, they want to set up this kind of transnational bankocracy. You know, these people that are sitting around the table, still sitting around the table of Bilderberg, are desperate for there to be this completely dissolved world that they can sit on top of. You know, so the whole thing becomes them as a kind of, you know, technocratic Maoist sort of panel of expert bankers that control everything on our behalf. You know, and you can sort of see it shaping that way. And and it's just fascinating to see to see a little bit of the history towards, you know, what we're dealing with today.
I totally agree with you. And again, we have hundreds of pages of these, and we've got, you know, the talking points, the agenda, who's there, what the speeches are going to be. We have the minutes of Bilderberg 66, and we have very few other minutes. We have some from the 50s, and it just shows everything they want, they get. And now it's the rollout of the police state. Now it's the takeover of society by people that took over via getting our tax money. Powerful elites took over government, took over the media. This is their program. This is their plan. This is their operation. And so this is the Bilderberg leaks. I mean, that's really what this is. And as soon as we get back today, we're going to scan these documents in, and we're going to get them up to link them into the article. And Paul will have more articles tomorrow. Kurt Nemo is welcome to write articles on it. If you have anybody in our office that thinks this is important, because this is a big deal in every sense of the word. Aaron Dykes, continuing with the data dump.
Yeah, well, this, in the invitation letters and the briefings that happened before Bilderberg, there's several layers of that about the travel arrangements, etc. Prince Bernhard and his secretaries point out how two people are the top U.S. diplomats to Bilderberg. One is Joseph E. Johnson. He's the president of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Not any kind of peace, international peace. He's also the head of the World Peace Foundation. The other is George W. Ball. He was Undersecretary of State under JFK. They're both big architects of the Vietnam War and of the larger world government mechanism. There's a bombshell quote you can look up from George W. Ball where he tells JFK, within 5 years, we're going to have 300,000 troops in Vietnam. JFK looks him in the face and says, George Ball, you're supposed to be one of the smartest guys in the room, but I think you're crazier than hell. It's never going to happen. In other words, over my dead body. Well, we all know what happened, and you got John J. McCloy, among others, on the Warren Commission there at Bilderberg in 1966, only a few years after JFK was assassinated, and I can tell you it wasn't from Oswald.
And again, he warned of the military-industrial complex taking over just as Eisenhower did. This is the big news. You know, something you mentioned, Charlie, here in closing, was that they had over 300 security people for 150 people, roughly, so that's two security people for every person there. And most of them are NSA and spies, but they had plainclothes Marines in Marine Corps license-plated vehicles, just like they had 4 years ago, flipping us off, wearing clown masks and stuff, and we photographed their faces. The Marines would drive out, shaking their heads at us like we were the traitors, because we didn't like foreign banks and the New World Order conquering America, and using us as an engine of global tyranny, like German Hessians were mercenaries or something. And they sent out plainclothes Marines to act like they were our friends. Oh, we're anti-terrorism forces, and they were clearly Marines. They were going in and out. We saw them later inside. and they would shake our hands and try to crush our hands and poke their thumbs into our hands and laugh at us. And it didn't really hurt. The guy would try to hurt my hand. I'd just sit there and wouldn't even squeeze and let him do it. And I'm not a tough guy. I've had my finger cut off. I've been, legs broken, everything else. It certainly doesn't hurt. You're squeezing my hand, son. And they're bugging their eyes out. And I learned they were dressing down younger people and couples and telling them to leave, running around doing psyops. We had the Marine Corps illegally engaging us within our group. I mean, this is what America's come to.
I've got to tell
American
you
people.
Can I tell you something happened outside the gate? Someone came out, one of the feds came out and started doing NLP on one of the protesters. And someone else who was a protester there realized that was what was happening and said, hey, stop doing that. I know what you're doing. I know this stuff.
Oh, I know. And it was ridiculous. They were like quasi-mental idiots. Like coming up and talking and saying weird things to us and then going in and out. And I'm like, and they would get so upset when I'd videotape the Marines coming in and out with their license plates illegally. They're diplomatic security corps. The point is they're engaging American citizens. It's totally illegal. And did you run into those Marines? I mean, they look like Manchurian candidates. They were the brainwashed people.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm the enemy now because I'm an...
I'd like to bring up something else because you mentioned Garry Kasparov.
No.
Go ahead.
We'll go back to Garry Kasparov in a minute. Go ahead. Finish your point, Charlie.
I was going to say what was really heartwarming though about, was actually the amount of education of the police that went
Skip the break.
You know? And one of the policemen said to me, he literally, you know, we were picking up some litter and he sort of looked, he looked around to see if no one was there and he just said, look, trust me, we're not backing these Bilderberg, you know, and you know there was a lot of education of the police. People were just on their bullhorns talking to them. It was quite funny for hours, just simply giving them facts. So you know, I mean, it was like the police had gone to school for 3 days.
And the police were Googling with iPads, smart pads, Samsung systems. I saw. I'd say, okay, look up Rockefeller Foundation sterilants and vaccines. They'd look 10 minutes later. Go, whoa. And I'd say, okay, because it was on Rockefeller Foundation. They'd probably say, all right, look up Prince Bernhard Nazi. Look it up. Okay, and so they were looking it up. And by the end, we were like, who supports the Constitution? And on video, the cops would do it before the head guys would raise their hands. Or I'd say, oh, you're saying we can't cross the street. You want your kids to grow up in a country like this? It's not illegal to walk across this side street. You're being told to. And like the head cops on the ground were going, yeah, you see that trailer? It's watching us and listening to us. We'll get in trouble. And I said, okay, your kids are going to have no future. All right, yeah, you're right. Cross the street. I'm not following that order. And it's that they were a professional discipline group, not like thugs I've seen, that we were pointing. And I said, and your police line's too far out in the street. You're going to make somebody get run over. Move it back. They started talking, said, yeah, move it back. I mean, you know, they were understanding this is an illegal group. They looked up Logan Act. They found out Hillary was fined $300,000 for it in 94. They found out this group now commands the U.S. military. They've told Congress that NATO commands the military along with the U.N. They looked that up. I said, look, they watched the video, said, wow. And see, 4 years ago, they started listening. So a lot of them were already listeners, including the SWAT team commander. Did you see him on tape go, I'll talk to you the first day? And he goes, yeah, I listened to your show, Alex. Started listening 4 years ago last time you were here. I'm with you. Head guy runs out of the bushes and says, do not talk to them. Again, these guys know that they were there ordered to guard criminals. And so they didn't like it. This is the beginning of the end for the globalists. This is a big deal, Charlie Skelton.
Absolutely. I mean, the Fairfax County Police must have the most enlightened police officers now in the entire U.S. But, you know, they've got the sense that, you know, there's the thing about the police standing there. They're just some normal guys doing a job. And, you know, we could talk to them and say, look, we're doing our job. I'm a journalist. I'm here. I'm doing my job. You know, you're doing your job.
All right. I've lost Charlie Skelton. Take me up on Skype.
He's still there. Go ahead, Charlie. Finish your point.
Go to Skype.
Yeah, all a little bit of confusion on the road, but anyway, yeah. Just saying, you know, they're normal guys, and they were talking to, you know, the people outside Bilderberg. The protesters were a bunch of normal people, just concerned citizens. So it was just citizen talking to citizen about some information. And, you know, it was heartening to see.
Yeah, there were also some provocateurs there calling the police pigs and scum and filth. And clearly I could tell that most of them had been, it was only five or six, had been sent. We had guys in masks who were clearly Marine Corps build, Marine Corps bearing, Marine Corps activity, throwing things on cars. I mean, but again, the Marine Corps disgraced itself, openly working for foreigners. But that's what Smedley Butler, the two-time Congressional Medal of Honor winner, said. All right, in closing, Aaron Dykes, you wrote an article last Wednesday about Kasparov and how they're setting up a CFR to take over Russia. And again, it'd be one thing if the U.S. was trying to take over Russia for liberty. That would still be foreign entanglements and dangerous, and our founder said don't do that, George Washington. But this is globalist bankers that have conquered us through fraud, now trying to get us into a war with Russia and infiltrate them. Aaron Dykes, since he brought that up, you wrote an article that got no attention last week.
Well, it's very important because those who know the real history know the Cecil Rhodes Roundtable Group is what Bilderberg comes out of. The American counterpart is the Council on Foreign Relations. The British counterpart is the Royal Institute of International Affairs. And without any coincidence, Russia has set up a Russian Institute of International Affairs. Those names are not coincidental. China now has a branch, and these were set up only a couple years ago. It's very significant about Garry Kasparov, the former chess champion. He was tapped by the neocons, those who would later set up the Project for a New American Century back in 1991. They gave him an award they only give to Americans, Keeper of the Flame from the Center of Security Policy. They were tapping him for future destabilization. That's why he's there. He's a protest opponent to Putin. That's his only issue, is opposing Putin. And furthermore, we've got new ambassadors who have been meeting with these Putin opposition forces in Russia. The color revolution in the works. You cannot distance it from the domino that is Syria either.
And let's be clear. Same guy. You got Soros involved trying to get our guns and overthrow us. It's not America trying to free Russia. It's the bankers trying to enslave it. Just like they're not trying to free Syria, I would still be against it because the founders pointed out why it was wrong and dangerous. Thomas Jefferson, evil guys like George Washington. Is that they're trying to put Al-Qaeda in Syria. Even in the LA Times, who've said all the Jews are dead, the Christians are expelled from the second oldest Christian settlement in the world is Syria. Second oldest in the world. I do not support Al-Qaeda. And if people out there want to say I'm evil because of that, and they have written a bunch of articles saying that this week, claiming I support Assad or I support Putin. No, I support America and the Bill of Rights and Constitution. I want the banker occupation out of here. And this is incredible to have these foreign banksters here doing this and trying to set all this up. This is a global corporate fascist government playing countries off against each other. Charlie Skelton comments on what Aaron Dykes just said.
Just fascinating. That stuff about the internet, you know, the Chatham House, you know, and, you know, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, the idea that that's still, the flame is still going there. And, you know, back in 1946, that was where the Chatham House at Joseph Rettinger made a speech about Europe. Where he set out his, you know, his vision for, which turned into Bilderberg, you know, some 8 years later, their first conference. So it all ties in. It's all, you know, he was a British secret agent, you know, and, well, you know, he worked in special forces.
And a top Jesuit, and we can...
I just wanted to say, before I forget, you know, it was a great party atmosphere this year, but, you know, we want more people as well. And, you know, if anyone wants to email me, I put a link, an email address at the bottom of my last piece, which is bilderberg2013@yahoo.co.uk. You know, if you live in London, drop me a line, we'll go and have a debrief. If you're interested in coming next year, I can help, you know, talk to you about that. And, you know, everyone has to talk to each other and get social media working so that it's even bigger and more of a party next year.
I agree. Yeah. Absolutely. Send your emails to you, to Kurt@InfoWars.com, to Paul Watson's email, to ShowTips, to RobD@InfoWars.com, to everybody, to Aaron with 2 A's at InfoWars.com, with more data dumps, with more data. We can bring down these criminals. They've now been exposed. People now know it's real. So many people came there to say, I just wanted to see if you were telling the truth and if this even existed. So many people still believe the mainstream media that this stuff didn't exist. But how the Royal Institute of International Affairs works, how the CFR they created in 24 on Pratt Street, New York works, how this new Russian model works, is they go in, they give you unlimited Rothschild, Rockefeller money, if you'll get in business with them, to then undermine and bring down the countries. And again, the globalists teamed up with the communist Chinese. There's a big alliance there. Russia's in the crosshairs, and they're using this to destroy us. Superlative job, excellent job, Charlie Skelton. Thank you for all you do, my friend.
No, thank you. Thank you for being there and bullhorning away. It was great.
All right, we'll talk to you again soon in the next few days as more things break. Third hour coming up on TSA, then more with Aaron Dykes and some of your phone calls. But I want to say this. I'm glad Charlie mentioned the mole thing and gave out his email. Contact us as well. I forget to do that. Anything was possible. All right, cruise control. We are live in the next 20 minutes or so, 30 minutes. We are joined by a gentleman who's been tirelessly fighting the paramilitary, the police pulling people over, totally feeding to expand their numbers against us. This is the Bilderberg Group, 30,000 drones, checkpoints, armored pillboxes, 450 million 40 cals, checkpoints everywhere, shutting down farms, total harassment, all of this going on. TSA now at checkpoints everywhere. He broke that up in Michigan at rock concerts. TSA, hands down the pants. TSA commanding everyone. The feds out of their jurisdiction, not even sworn police. He's the guy that gets stuff through the scanners to show they're a fraud. They try to censor the media. They threaten the media. He's got the blog TSA out of our pants. It's now come out they're hiring pedophiles across the board as the commanders of the TSA, of course. To now they take the children away to a special room. I guess rape rooms weren't real in Saddam's country, but they are here. Genital rape rooms. And now congresswomen are coming out saying, yes, they're hiring pedos as the commanders to pilfer our children in savage pedophile attacks. Yes, this is land of the pedophile kingdom. Joining us is the gentleman who has TSA out of our pants. And I want to thank you, Rob Corbett, for joining us. We're going to break in 3 minutes, but tell us the latest, you evil John Corbett. I know I got Rob on the line with me. I'm sorry. I know it's John Corbett. I knew it was John Corbett, and I was told last minute. Let's just call you Rob Corbett. John Corbett, thank you for coming on with us today.
Thanks, Alex. How are you?
I am doing a crazy down-the-road live experimental transmission with experimental technologies, but it is good to have you here. Tell us what's coming up with the TSA rape rooms.
Well, lots of good stuff. Actually, one of the more interesting things that just happened recently is one of my lawsuits against the TSA. One of the things that I'm suing over is a record request. I asked the TSA and the local airport government for some video of me going through the checkpoint, and they told me it didn't exist. And eventually, I kept pressing them. Well, what are these camera domes that are up there? What are all these? And they said, well, we couldn't tell you whether or not they existed. So they essentially lied to me in a Freedom of Information Act request, denying the existence of video for security purposes. Yeah.
They don't lie. I mean, all they do is lie. They even lie when the truth would serve them better. Continue.
It's true, and it's just a pattern of hiding things from the media, which, you know, we saw when my video came out. They warned reporters not to cover it, and now we're seeing it again with the scandal that we're seeing in Florida with a whole slew of TSA screeners being disciplined for some sort of not following procedures that the TSA hasn't actually released yet. The speculation might be that it's kind of a revolt against groping the passengers. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Now, I've talked to TSA, who just got it for jobs, and they phased it in years ago, and they need the money, that they have been cutting back the groping, and that the feds are saying, break their will, squeeze the genitals. I mean, they want to hurt you, as the Congress people have said. They want to show you that you have no space, that government is God, that the drones are here, the checkpoints are here, and the new flag of America will be a child with a man grabbing him, dragging him into a closed door area to strip him down as they cry. And if daddy gets mad, airport police are called in to taser. And if the neck needs to be broken, and this has happened several times, you will be murdered. You will be murdered if your child cries and you fight back. We'll be right back with someone fighting the pedophiles. Stay with us. Alex Jones coming to you live from the road, and we have gotten back right close to the Texas homeland, the Texas headquarters, deep in the heart of Texas, geographically, right in the middle of Texas, good old Austin, Texas. And boy, is it good to be back in our beloved Texas, as beautiful as Virginia and Arkansas and Tennessee are. I tell you, I love my state of Texas. And that's where all my kin folks are and where they're all buried right back to the 1830s. And so it is good to be back here deep in the heart of Texas. All right, John Corbett, who sued the TSA, infiltrated, exposed them. There's a revolt inside TSA that's been confirmed over the naked body scanners and cancer clusters. Also, the TSA is refusing to grow up genitals. They know it's all a fraud. It's in the news that Al-Qaeda is CIA-funded. They understand they're being told now it's the libertarians of the new terrorist. TSA is starting to wake up. And he has now confirmed, as it's been in the Houston Chronicle, it's been all over the country. They got highway checkpoints, bus station checkpoints. They are. I've seen it in Miami where they grow up the children's genitals, take their shirts off at bus stations. But now it's all 50 states. With the Army, with the Marine Corps, with National Guard, with firearms, TSA, who aren't, it's outside of esprit de corps, outside of law. They're not sworn bonded. They command the military, the police. They are Homeland Security's weird, pot-bellied, brown shirt like Hitler had. Stalin had a disheveled shirt hanging out group that was over the military and police. Because there's always, even in old empires, some esprit de corps in the system. Because old, smart police systems know if you're disgraceful, you'll be hated. So tyrannies always create kind of a disposable diaper thug that has quasi-police powers that is the new commander. And so they can be flushed and given a night of the long knives if you studied history. So the TSA is waking up. Give us the big data dump on them hitting the streets, the internal warfare, your lawsuits. Of course, his blog spot is TSA out of our pants. Give us that actual URL. John Corbett with big breaking news. They've called the media. These memos have come out. And TSA has said, do not interview him if you know what's good for you. Now the TSA tells the media what to do in America. They are our gods, our kings, our rulers, our occupiers for the foreign bankers. John Corbett, you've got the floor. Tell us what's happening.
Sure. Well, you mentioned the incident that I found a week or so ago at a music festival. I traveled to a music festival in Detroit, Michigan. It's a pretty quiet city nowadays. There's a lot of abandoned buildings and then just neighborhoods that look like they once were probably full of people, but now are empty. So standing out in that is a group of TSA inspectors wandering around outside the festival. These people say that they can look because there's transportation in the area. There's a light rail there, so that's how they're justified. And these guys are armed. These guys look just like police officers. They even wore vests that said police. But upon closer look, they were TSA inspectors. And then inside the music festival, we found.
And again, the inspector means. And I want you to start over, but to explain how this works. It's the Viper teams expanding out, and they now do the hands on the groin and the bag search all over the country, outside of jurisdiction, no warrants, like there's a magic wand. They just do whatever they want. Please continue.
Correct. You know, we've heard the stories about them at the Amtrak stations, at the Greyhound stations, all over the country, even at highways sometimes. And they're conducting those kinds of searches. And the ones that I encountered weren't actually searching anyone. They were just kind of wandering, looming, standing there like they were trying to establish their presence or something.
It's an acclimator.
Absolutely. I don't think that most people thought anything of it because they just see a bunch of guys that look like police. But a little bit closer, these guys are TSA, the Department of Homeland Security, policing the streets of America now.
Yeah, they're federal police, but they're not real police, and they violate the entire Bill of Rights and Constitution with their submission hold of the genitals. Your children, your wife, please continue. The old lady's crying, the strip searches. This is the pure delivery into hell. Continue.
Sure. So in addition to them, I found customs agents, border patrol agents, inside of the music festival. Now Detroit is a border city. It's right next to Canada. But the question remains, what kind of illegal immigration or whatever they might be looking for is happening inside of a music festival? The fact of the matter is no one is actually crossing the border at the same time as enjoying the festival. So now we have TSA.
It's a power grab.
Yeah. Absolutely, and then we have Customs and Border Patrol inside policing, and I asked them, do you guys stand in this park normally? And they said, well, we can go wherever we want because we can enforce state and federal law. We're within however many miles of the border, and that's just the way it is. And we've all heard at least.
Yeah, let me stop you.
Yeah.
It's called a Constitution free zone. It's not law. 100 miles in, we drove south to San Antonio to go to the beach with my children 3 weeks ago. Just south of San Antonio, more than 200 miles from the border, they had Border Patrol with license plate readers, and they were not pulling over illegals. I've confirmed they're now harassing citizens. They are now Border Patrol everywhere, and there's illegal aliens to your left and your right. Day labor sites, the cities pay for it, the banks take their cards. It's a total federal takeover. The CFR came out 4 days ago and said they're going to have army in every city to work with the SWAT teams and kill U.S. citizens. They said we're going to call out airstrikes on U.S. citizens.
Absolutely. Look at where they're starting.
Yeah, go ahead.
In a city like Detroit, where the people there, they need additional police protection. The Detroit Police Department is cash strapped and small, and it's a big city to patrol. So they're going to be a little bit more accepting of the police, kind of like in the airports, anything to keep us safer. So they're systematically targeting
yes.
these locations where they're
yes.
going to get a little bit less resistance. And then once they're in Detroit, once they're in
yes.
these other cities that have kind of half-heartedly allowed them, they're going to say, well, why can't we expand to New York? You just did it in Detroit. Why can't we expand to Miami, Los Angeles? So that's what we're going to see now.
And they're already there. And
yeah.
Well, I mean, everything you're saying is spot on. This is a planned rollout. The globalists, we have the documents, imploded Detroit on purpose, paid to ship all the last jobs out. Now they're going to bulldoze a third of it. They're in Houston. They're in Dallas. They're everywhere. And they just show up now and say, we can be wherever we want. This is amazing, isn't it?
It's absolutely amazing. And one has to wonder why it doesn't stop. Where are our legislators getting rid of this Constitution-free zone? That was something that was invented by the court system, Constitution-free zone, to control the jurisdiction of Customs and Border Patrol. So why isn't legislation bringing these guys in? And not even just for civil rights purposes, but for practical use purposes. We have a border that needs to be patrolled. Why on earth are these guys in music festivals not actually on the border patrolling it?
Well, it's total federal acclimation. I mean, I've driven through checkpoints, you name it, with Army, Marines. They had firearms, DWI checkpoints. They admit it is the takeover. They've had troops in police uniforms for at least 24 years killing citizens. And that's in my film Road to Tyranny. Killing them. They wear generic police uniforms. Same thing you saw. I mean, those could have been. They had Marines engaging me just 3 days ago. They had Marines going, I really support you, and grabbing my hand and trying to take their thumb and jabbing it and smiling at me and telling people leave and threatening people. This is America. We face Marines in PSYOPs trying to go protest in America. Okay? This is total treason. It's totally criminal. Now tell folks about the latest savage abuses of women and old people in the TSA rape rooms.
That story just seems to be getting old by now. Every week or sometimes even less, we hear of another person that was violated by the TSA. These private rooms that the TSA has for additional screening that they'll so nicely offer you, don't ever do it. I mean, the TSA will molest you enough in public to let them go into private is just giving them a license to do things to you
no.
without any kind of view of the public, without any
yes.
kind of recourse. My advice, strongest to travelers, is to never go into a back room. It's not worth it. Even if you have to miss your flight, it's not worth going into the TSA back room.
And let me expand on this. First, it's body scanners and only groping if you don't. Now it's you body scan, you get groped everywhere. They admit that their plan is to make everyone go in the rooms, finally, who they want to pull out in the screening process and be strip searched. This is their admissions. So they're phasing it in and lying about taking the clothes off old women. Just yesterday it was in the news where they went in public, took the woman's shirt off, grabbed her breast in front of everyone. If you cry, the police come. I mean, this is your children cry as they now drag them away to the rape rooms. These are physical, under code, under law, rape rooms. And as you said, eased in, and now they have these armored, bulletproof rape rooms. It was 200 first ordered. Now there's an additional 1,000 being ordered. Bulletproof rape rooms at mobile checkpoints. So they're going to rape you on the side of the road. What do you make of this?
You know, I don't even know. I haven't even gotten that far. I'm still working on the airport. But, you know, in the airport, you're absolutely right. And it's important for everyone to know that you can say no. The TSA does not have the right to detain you. And they oftentimes get around it by having you arrested for yelling and screaming. Just don't do that. If you can, just calmly tell the TSA, I decline your search. And you know what? You might not fly that day. It's totally worth it. It's like if you had to be raped in order to fly, would you do it? Obviously not. But yet some people risk it with the TSA. It's just not good. It's not worth it. File complaints. Go to a different airport on a different day. You'll make.
We're going to break. You're absolutely right. And again, if they can get the beachhead at the airports, I told people 10 years ago, they'll be at highways, they'll be for your jobs. They admit they're going to take over. You're not going to get a job if they don't say. It's a national security state run by Homeland Security. Homeland Security is the foreign banker occupational takeover to absorb the republic. We'll be back with another segment with John Corbett of TSA Out of My Pants to get the latest he's working on. Live here, ladies and gentlemen. We are nearing the InfoWars Command Center, but we're in famous I-35 traffic because the globalists will never expand these roads. They just built giant toll roads 20 miles outside town nobody can use. Now they want to turn this into a toll road. It's illegal. You can't take an existing road, but so what? Maybe we'll talk to Richard some about it coming up. John, I know I'm cutting in frothing because it's freaking me out. That I'm not kidding. They've ordered armored pillboxes for the TSA. They're now on highways pulling people out of cars. They got Border Patrol 200 miles inside Texas harassing citizens. In San Antonio, they've got the Air Force MPs out on the street searching people. And they come over with sidearms in America and go, we're going to search at the Riverwalk. I mean, this country is going into martial law. In the 5 minutes we've got left with you here, John of TSA Out of Our Pants, what else is going on with the TSA? You mentioned earlier there's a revolt against them. And they're trying to tell them, you know, basically that they've got to grope harder.
So we saw recently that the TSA has quietly disciplined and fired a bunch of TSA screeners in the state of Florida. They haven't gone as far as to say exactly why they were disciplined, other than to say that they weren't following proper procedures. And in the last few months, I've interviewed several TSA screeners that have come to me to tell me stories of TSA abuse. And one thing that I've learned is that these guys actually don't like the body scanners. They don't like the groping. 99% of TSA screeners are disgusted by what they have to do, and they're disgusted by how they're treated by the public as a result, and, you know, rightfully so. You spend all day groping people, and you're going to get a lot of complaints about, you know, why are you being such a fascist, and why is this becoming a police state, and why are you helping? You know, people don't like that. The people that work with the TSA wish that it would go back to the way it was, you know, right before the TSA started, where there was normal metal detectors. There were normal pat-downs if there was something that needed to be resolved, and that's it. So apparently there were several screeners that refused to follow procedure. We don't know exactly what happened yet, and the TSA is trying not to tell us, but there's a lot of investigation going on. It's going to come out sooner or later.
Well, let me raise this next point, since you mentioned that, Mr. Corbett, that we know there was a revolt in Boston because they put scanners in 8 years ago, and they've had huge cancer clusters, sevenfold increase. We also know that a lot of TSA agents ask for my autograph. They say, hey, we don't like what's happening. But it's always the supervisor, when you opt out, that charges over, who's got the handlebar mustache or, you know, looks like a pedo. And now we learn all over the country they are pedophiles. The leaders, the commanders of the TSA and the commanders of the gates in Pennsylvania and Dallas and all over are pedophiles, convicted or defrocked pedophiles of small children. So the commanders are pedophiles, and what the TSA is at the airports is a testing ground to find the army of darkness that will carry out the new ground war at the checkpoints against the American people. So the cops will stand back. They'll deliver you to the armored rape room on the side of the highway. I'm not kidding, folks. I'm serious.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem that way, and you can imagine these defrocked priests or other sex offenders sitting in their little manager's office watching on camera the little boys and little girls being groped by their underling. I've had a lot of problems with, and I've seen a lot of other people have problems with, these mid-level supervisors. They seem to have this kind of disregard for the people when complaints are made that we don't even see at the front
the
line.
The pedovisors. Sure, pedophiles helpers. Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. You don't even see that kind of attitude usually from the front line, the blue-shirted people that are running the checkpoint. Usually, it's kind of just a we-have-to-do-our-job attitude. And if you've ever gotten a pat-down that didn't involve touching your genitals, that's exactly why. It's not because the TSA wasn't supposed to touch your genitals. It's because these screeners just chose not to, because they're sick and tired of touching people's balls all day long, essentially. These mid-level supervisors are a little bit different. We call them transportation security managers, and above them they have the federal security directors, the FSDs. And these people actually set what the local policy is, and they ensure that your grope is nice and thorough.
Well, I want to be clear. Ron Paul has said it. Jesse Ventura, I've witnessed it repeatedly with Ventura. They Miss USA described it as being lifted off the ground. They went in her pants and went in her body. Okay, and that's what the feds are telling them to do. I want to finish up for a few minutes with you, then Big Bilderberg breaking news and more. We'll even take some calls. 800-259-9231 coming up. A couple more minutes with our guest. 800-259-9231. Look at the skyline of Austin, Texas out there as we go to break. We'll show you the sky cam. Free will burn it. Free will burn it. I tell you, they've had nothing but highway songs today. Here comes the TSA, the evil on the road, coming for your children. Perversion, I'm told. Free perverts burn it. Defend your children from the filthy armies of government scum. Yeah! Evil pot bellies burning! Burning for your children and your wife! Ah! All right. You guys have not had any of our regular liners today, which is fine. Kind of fun. That's enough of that commie music. All right, we're going to cut the sky feed off here so folks don't know where our exit is. But we've still got the video feed here in the bus. We're only like 5 miles away from the command center, Infowars.com. Man, I am fired up. John Corbett, an evil person that doesn't like being groped by weirdos, violating his Fourth Amendment, and doesn't like being radiated in strip searches, and being lied to constantly, or illegal, not even cops, federally, out of their jurisdiction, setting up checkpoints everywhere across the United States. He is bad. So am I. We're all horrible here. We should just love all the things they're doing to us. In closing, sir, other tidbits, other things people should know about out there, because here's my bottom line. Here, and I want you to comment on this and then give us any other little tidbits you've got. Here's my bottom line. If they fail at the airports and the streets, their federal takeover is over. This is the martial law rollout. They're admitting they're going to use the Pentagon against this. Huge treason is happening. But if they can't get average law-abiding citizens who aren't used to the system, aren't used to a perp walk, a perp lineup, I mean, that's what this is, a custodial arrest. They can't get their martial law in. Everything rests on defeating the TSA. That's why I salute DrudgeReport.com and WorldNetDaily.com and InfoWars.com and all of you out there fighting these monsters from the wilderness. We're starting to have victories. Do you agree with that statement, and are we having victories, Mr. Corbett of TSA, out of our pants, you dirty perverts?
I think we are having victories. You know, one of the things that I like to tell people is take that, if you see something, say something adage, and use it for good. So if you see that there's a Customs and Border Patrol agent outside of where he's supposed to be, say something. Go up to him, ask him what he's doing there. Take his picture. Make him uncomfortable with what he's doing. Let him know that the citizens are actually watching. When I approached the TSA inspectors that were outside the music festival, they were shocked that anyone had even heard of what a Viper team was. So it's about time we take a little closer look. What is that patch on the side of that police officer's uniform that you don't recognize? Figure it out. Ask them. And this, the same in the airport. The goal is to take up as much of their time as possible. So if you can opt out of a body scanner, do so, because you know what? They're going to grope you anyway. About half the people that go through the body scanners end up being patted down anyway because they say there's something the body scanner couldn't detect on you, because these things don't actually
work. Well, look, if you're a good looking woman, it's over. You're getting hardcore groped down. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so you might as well not give them a nude picture in the process as well. The fact of the matter is the TSA needs to screen about one passenger every 10 seconds at our nation's checkpoints in order to not have the line back up and people miss their flight. It takes about 5 minutes to do a full pat-down if you opt out of a search. So if only a small percentage of people actually opted out of the body scanners, they have to stop using them. Whenever an opt-out happens in an airport, you'll see that people start getting redirected to the metal detector lines because they can't handle the time.
You just hit the key. That's why my crew and everybody I know, when you fly out of Austin, if you do the body scanner, most of the time they grope you anyways. When you say no, they put you behind a line, try to make you miss your flight and laugh at you and keep saying, gonna miss your flight, gonna miss your flight, and laugh. Especially, there's a guy with Rastafarian hair. I know he watches. You know, who thinks it's very, very funny at the Bergstrom. But they all do it. And one guy put his glove on and said, "It's time for my pleasure with McBreen and Marcos." When we sent him to up to Georgia to cover the army was involved in killing the guy that wouldn't stop having chickens legally, all part of the Homeland Security takeover. Yeah, you heard it here, murdering us, all being announced here. And so, yes, this is how we resist. That's why when they had National Opt-Out Day, they just stopped scanning for 5 days because they knew it would show that they were a joke, but it also shows the terror threat's fake, because how could they just turn them off for 5 days? It shows it is a power grab scam. You're right. In fact, I think I'm going to start flying more again and just opting out with pleasure everywhere and just get there 2 hours early, make a big, long scene out of it with these terrorist helpers. Go ahead.
Absolutely, Alex.
Go ahead, John.
And if you encounter screeners like that in the future that are telling you about how they're going to get pleasure out of it and how they're going to make you miss your flight, ask for a law enforcement officer. Call the police. And honestly, if you seem like you're calm and in control of yourself, the police don't like the TSA. The police think that the TSA are encroaching on them. And yes, if you're throwing a fit at the airport, they're going to take you away in handcuffs. But if you say, "Officer, I'd just like someone to watch this pat-down because I've been abused by TSA pat-downs before, and I'd like you to make sure that won't happen." Guess what? Now that's increased the time from 5 to 15 minutes that the TSA has you there, and they're scanning that many fewer people. You know, we need another national opt-out day. We need to do this regularly. And if possible, every day should be opt-out day for anyone that's a frequent flyer. Just come an extra 10 minutes early to the airport. It's really not a big deal. And if they say, do you want to fly today? Are you worried you're going to miss your flight? Just tell them, it doesn't really matter. I can catch the next one. And then they drop that line.
Absolutely. And you know, I sit there and say, you know, you're all getting radiated. What you're doing is illegal. This is a federal power grab. You know you're on the streets. Do you want to live in a country like this? And they bring the pedo supervisor over. Ah, you're a troublemaker. Huh? And I go, you know, I'm an American citizen, not a traitor like you. And I just real, we're going to beat you, scum. There ain't nothing you're going to do. The Republic is rising, and you need to get that through your little mackerel brain. All right, yeah. Well, John Corbett, give us the exact URL of your site, your lawsuits, your slamming and bamming of the enemy.
Yep, it's tsaoutofourpants.wordpress.com, and on there you can find all sorts of legal updates about what we're doing against the TSA, and also just general things that are going on, the new ways of encroaching on your freedom, and kind of how to defend against that, what you can do to limit how much groping you're going to get, and so forth.
Well done. I appreciate you joining us.
Thanks,
all right, let's jam in four or five calls. Thank you so much, sir. And again, folks, if it sounds like we're walking over each other, there's about a second and a half delay with me. He's on Skype. He's got a half-second delay, so it causes some of that. So we're going to jam in four or five calls right here.
Yep, I got the first one, Alex.
Let Aaron finish up with these big documents. Let's go to Brendan first in Wisconsin, then Will, then Julio and others. Brendan, you're on the air, and the Eagle has landed. We're just about to arrive here at the InfoWars command base that exists because of your support, folks. Be sure and visit the online video bookstore if you want to see us continue. Okay, go ahead, Brendan. Go, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks, Alex. You guys did such a great job down there at Bilderberg. I was one of the people that was with AFP, and we chose not to fly because of the TSA groping, and I'm surprised we can actually still make fun of TSA without experiencing some sort of... I thought they had some legislation that they were working on out of Georgia or somewhere where that would prohibit any sort of mockery or even comical commentary on regarding TSA, and I thought we should have a nice music video. Maybe Mike, the Health Ranger Mike Adams, could help out with that. But
yeah, well, the answer to unconstitutional laws is ignore them. They say I can't make fun of their scumbag activity. It's my First Amendment. They say Australians can't criticize carbon tax. Everybody together say no. It's time to say no to these out of control criminals.
And also, we being the first three people into that bar, and we really wanted to photograph that the Waterloo painting, we had our cameras turned off, nothing was going on, we were discussing how to put black tape over top of the red lights so they wouldn't know that we were filming. We were surrounded by security, Charlie Skelton hadn't gotten there yet, and Lou Kradowski hadn't, they were on their way probably up the driveway, and we were just whispering about the electrical tape. And within a minute, we were surrounded by security telling us to turn off our cameras. They weren't on yet, but we were just talking, whispering, and there was no one in the bar except for a bartender, a Pakistani-American bartender named Abdul, and ourselves, and a couple of spooks. And it was just amazing. They might have had some equipment in there picking up that audio. I'm not sure.
Yeah, they did. I'm not going to go any further than that, but yes, sir. Okay, let's go to, thank you for the good points there. Let's talk to Will in Oklahoma. You're on the air worldwide at the end of our official massive Bilderberg coverage, but the exposure just begun with the data dump we just got. Bilderberg leaks, linked in red at InfoWars.com. Go ahead, Will.
Hey, thanks, Alex. Great job at Bilderberg and great interview with Lester Tarpley. I saw yours and also Adam Kokesh's. I just wanted to make a quick point listening to you and John. I have my cousin-in-law actually works for the TSA here in Tulsa, and I've been talking to her about if they're comfortable with all the procedures, and it's actually surprising. Most of them are actually, like John said, refusing to do the pat-downs as far as the groping goes. They're just doing, you know, the bare minimum of the pat-downs that they have to do. And I asked her,
I had one when I opted out once in Vegas. The guy got off on it clearly, but I had one once just act like he was touching me. Just, and I was like, whatever. But again, this is how we're going to be, this is how tyranny falls. Go ahead.
I was going to say it was because of the people are starting to wake up. And that's what she said, was that because the people are waking up, because more people are expressing their feelings towards trying to opt out of the scanners and making them pat down and you know, reading them the Riot Act while they're being patted down, it's actually woken the TSA officers up to not even realizing what it is that they're exactly doing. And so I just wanted to make that comment about what John has said, because he's exactly right, and I'm seeing it right here in Tulsa.
Good job, my friend. And again, our article is linked in red at InfoWars.com. We need everybody to help make it go viral. Bilderberg leaks, ladies and gentlemen, admitting they want their world government. They want NATO to be at the heart of it, and so much more. Leaked Bilderberg documents. Nationalism is dangerous. InfoWars exclusive obtained senator's notes, minutes, agenda from 1966 confab. How to take over by stealth. It's all there. Just the photos we took of the documents this morning. We're about to upload a scanned PDF of as many of the documents as we can scan. It'll take hours. Incredible job to the crew. Let's take a few more calls before we get an update on some of the other information Aaron didn't have time to get into with this big Bilderberg leak. Let's go to Julio in Illinois. You're on the air, Julio.
Aloha, Alex. It was a pleasure to meet you in Chantilly. You know, I didn't get patted down by TSA after Bilderberg, but I must say I was a part of history with everyone that was out there. It was a treat to drink at the Wellington Pub, desecrating over the Bilderbergs the night before on Wednesday night. It was a treat, Alex. I wanted to ask you, I heard you say when we did the human sound cannon Friday afternoon, 40 feet away from them, is it true that the windows were shaking and they were upset?
Yes, we got that from inside sources, but also there's, again, most places there's 200 yards or more of forest around it, but the one big conference wing, and you can always tell when they're in there, because all of a sudden security gets around it. Then we run down knowing that they're meeting. 4 years ago, the head of the CFR, Haas, came out. Richard and Haas got in our face. Kissinger came out this year. I didn't get it on tape, but everybody saw it. Some got it on tape. And we had seven bullhorns daisy chain there, five or six down here, another seven or eight down here. But some guy brought a big jumbo giant one. We held it up, and somebody had the idea to put a bullhorn into that, into its speaker, and it caused some resonance that would instantly give. We were all getting migraines. Skelton had to get away. I had piercing headaches. You can see me trying to cover my ears. It's going while doing it, feeling nauseous. Other people were having to get out of there. It was hitting them. We're behind this, mind you. Okay, this is like an LRAD, folks. And the police came out with shotguns. Everybody had their eyes open, and globalists were running out, freaking out, and we're told that they had to shut the meeting down. I mean, it was because imagine it's glass windows and we're just pounding it just like, I mean, it was just like it was off the charts. Let me tell you, daisy chaining bullhorns, because it does something to the diaphragm in there where it just like gets the maximum sound. It was deafening. I mean, and then they had the sirens going. I mean, it was like. It's what they did to the Branch Davidians at Waco before they killed them. They were shooting stuff like that at them. Let me tell you, it was being behind it, man. I was having to go lay on the grass. You saw me repeatedly collapsing from migraines. Did you see that?
Well, Alex, I'm telling you, I'm glad I got to interrupt those scums in their meeting, because I'll never forget that moment in history. And I even saw Rob Jacobson during the day with his iPhone and his video camera giving it to the police. It's funny you mentioned, Alex, that they were saying, oh, we're your supporters. I was telling the police, if you guys are really care about your families, if you care about freedom, you would go inside and you would arrest those criminals instead of dragging a female on the ground, instead of arresting someone that's on the street. You would show how much you care. You would be instant heroes if you would arrest
Let me stop
criminals.
You for a minute. If the globalists keep pushing, there's going to be Ceausescu moments. But if there is a government, police, military counter coup, it could go very bad very quickly, and it's extremely dangerous. We do not want that. If it's an emergency, things keep going down the road, it's going to happen. We've already checkmated them. We already got them in check that we've gotten all this out. They're going to end up losing. Not the 30,000 drones, the checkpoints. They're hitting the panic button like Hitler in their bunker. They're not invincible. I've studied history. But they could release a bioweapon. If the cops actually did that, the globalists would hit and release a bioweapon that would kill almost everybody. We've got to be ready for that. And there may come a time when we just got to go ahead and try to arrest them. They're going to release the bioweapon. Everybody's got to dig in while this stuff ravages people. I mean, it's going to be bad, okay? I mean, they've got the Death Star aimed at us, but we don't have a choice, so we've got to go ahead and push them to the point of that. I hope that enough people in the elite realize they better back off. This is not a good path they're going down on their little power trips. That's why I'm risking my life in their face. Look, most of the senior police were on our side. when people kept challenging him and going out on the road and stuff, if somebody got run over, they were going to get in big trouble. They were going to be fired. The point is, it's by degrees. These police did by 30, 40, 50 degrees better than any other police I've ever seen. This is a process. And I used to just hate the police and hate the bullying stuff and the tyranny because I didn't realize they didn't know as much as I knew. But I've noticed that if you actually try to educate police, except if it's New York City, because there it's just total gang, you know, gangs and uniforms, that the police actually, especially cops that have been a cops a few years, young punks, you know, they haven't learned yet, you know, or they're into it for a power trip, but they won't last. Most people that have actually been around and learned human nature, most police love their families too. And everybody instinctively now, Julio, knows this is down to the wire, okay? People now understand the New World Order's real, they're bad, they're really evil, they're eugenicist, and so it's a process. I appreciate your call. I remember you were pretty angry at the police quite a bit, and I understand that. And, you know, I got in their face. You know, the cops came out, and we were shaking the windows with riot shotguns because the head of the hotel and the security was and the Marines were ordering them up there, and the cops had body language like they didn't like it. And I said, you're wrong to have double lock shotgun. You don't scare us. And we said, you know, this is treason. And a commander came over and said, get the shotguns out of here. I said, listen, go ahead and shoot me now. I'm ready to die for this republic. Go ahead and have a Kent State. If we do break these barriers down, which we're not planning to do, and we charge you, and they realize, it's almost like they were psychic, that I was halfway thinking about pushing that down and going in and going, go ahead and kill me. 1776 starts now at Bunker Hill. You understand that? We're committed. We're not backing off. You started a fight with the wrong people. Future's uncertain, but we are destiny. We will take action. You are the resistance. Resistance is victory. You are victory. Oh, there's the new TSA graphic. I'm back in studio, ladies and gentlemen. By the grace of our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, all the power and glory comes from you. Thank you for using me as an imperfect, twisted vessel against tyranny. And whatever your will is, that's what's going to happen. I don't even pray and ask God for stuff. I just say, whatever you want, that's it. But I'm ready to go up against the New World Order. I think we're sending feeds back down the line to Aaron. Aaron's going to come in here in the next hour with about 20, 30 minutes of overdrive to break down what we properly didn't cover on air driving here. But we can do document cam shots when he gets in here. We're going to have Aaron in here with the documents in higher def streamed out to PrisonPlanet.tv viewers to get these on the record so we can show you all the documents, not just what we were able to get to Paul Watson and get up there in his story. But we are here by the grace of God, and it's been amazing, and we are turning the corner against the TSA, against NAFTA, against GATT, against the globalists, against the North American Union. We are going to be able to beat these people if we recognize their operations. And if we reach out to people across the political spectrum and point out that the New World Order is the author of our world, where it is today, everything that's industrially bad, everything that's big and bad, there's plenty of evil out there with individuals, but everything that's institutionally bad is directed globally by this group of miscreant scum, and that it's a corporate global New World Order system that's taken over the planet, and they must be defeated. It is really that simple. So we were gone, I don't know, Saturday evening until Wednesday afternoon. How many days is that? That's like 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 days. And we are back, and I can't wait to see my family. So amazing to be here. We couldn't have done any of this without you. I really just want to thank Matt Drudge and his crew at DrudgeReport.com for carrying our stories and also carrying the other Bilderberg stories the last 5, 6 years and really helping break it down. WorldNet Daily, I want to thank Washington Times. I want to thank all the alternative media that was out there. I want to thank everybody, my crew, my family, you, the supporters, the listeners, everybody that came out it was great, but also torture to have all these families and children looking up to me and counting on me and shaking my hand. It was such a good spirit, but also it's crushing because you realize the responsibility you've got. But you know what? I'm doing the best I can. I just think about those that aren't awake and don't know the threat that society is facing, who don't understand how serious the cost is and what we're dealing with. People that are sleeping. The globalists live, we sleep. Humanity awaken. Now is the time. The entire crew here has just done, again, a fantastic job. Dew sitting in, the Watsons, Marcos, Morales, Darren McBreen, John Bound, Chris Alanese, just everybody, the entire office, everyone here that helps bring you this information is risking their lives, their names, their honor, their treasure, because they understand there is no future if this is not defeated. That's the big trick of the devil in the New World Order. There is nothing to sell out to. All these people that are worldly and empty and living the delusion, it's like an imaginary playland they're in. It's not real. That's why you're not fulfilled. The real world is all around you. The fight for humanity is now. It's here. And we need strong men globally and women to rise up against the globalists in the info war. We have now gained the initiative. We will win the war.
You walk into this room at your own risk because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. This is not a new world. It is simply an extension of what began in the old one. It has patterned itself after every dictator who has ever planted the ripping imprint of a boot on the pages of history since the beginning of time. It has refinements, technological advances, and a more sophisticated approach to the destruction of human freedom. But like every one of the superstates that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Lay down, G.I. Lay down, G.I. We saw it all through the 20th century. And now in the 21st century, it's time to stand up and realize that we should not allow ourselves to be crammed into this rat maze. We should not submit to dehumanization. I don't know about you, but I'm concerned with what's happening in this world. I'm concerned with the structure. I'm concerned with the systems of control. Those that control my life and those that seek to control it even more. I want freedom. That's what I want. And that's what you should want.
It's up to each and every one of us to turn loose just some of the greed, the hatred, the envy, and yes, the insecurities, because that is the central mode of control. Make us feel pathetic, small, so we'll willingly give up our sovereignty, our liberty, our destiny. We have got to realize that we're being conditioned on a mass scale. Start challenging this corporate slave state. The 21st century is going to be a new century. Not the century of slavery, not the century of lies and issues of no significance and classism and statism and all the rest of the modes of control. It's going to be the age of humankind standing up for something pure and something right. What a bunch of garbage, liberal, Democrat, conservative, Republican. It's all there to control you, two sides of the same coin. Two management teams bidding for control, the CEO job of Slavery Incorporated. The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to take a bite out of it. Do you got me? Humankind is too good. We're not a bunch of underachievers. We're going to stand up, and we're going to be human beings. We're going to get on the real things, the things that matter. Creativity and the dynamic human spirit that refuses to submit. Well, that's it. That's all I got to say. It's in your court.
In just a moment, we are going to bring you information on the leaked Bilderberg documents. I'm going to try to focus here, get all the papers together. We've been doing it for the from the road. It's very disjointed. I'm going to try to organize it, present it to you in a straightforward fashion from the 1966 meetings. These documents haven't leaked before. They obviously don't want them out. They're a skeleton key to foreign policy and how the United States has been infiltrated, how they've been steering world government for more than 60 years now through the Bilderberg Conference. And you could see some of the documents now. They were leaked from Senator Fred Harris. He was on the National Security Subcommittee in the Senate. He ended up being a two-term senator. In his second year, he was taken to Bilderberg, groomed, influenced by Rockefeller and other operatives, taught how special NATO needs to be, taught how they need to use economic devices, taught how nationalism is poison, basically, how it's, quote, dangerous, how nationalism is the worst thing possible, and how world government is the future. That's the kind of stuff we're going to be breaking down from inside the Bilderberg meeting. Special documents, ladies and gentlemen. This is breaking. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. Stay tuned. Tune into this Overdrive. Share it with everyone you know. We all have to do our homework so we can defeat Bilderberg and their related steering groups from out of the UK-based Cecil Rhodes Roundtable.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've been given the microphone for a special Overdrive presentation. As you know, I've been returning with Alex Jones from the Bilderberg meeting 2012 at Chantilly, Virginia. There we were leaked much of what has been never before released documents from inside the Bilderberg group meetings. This goes back to the 1966 conference. It took place in Wiesbaden, Germany, right outside of Frankfurt. Today, it is still the base of the U.S. consulate in Germany. It is also the base of occupied Germany back in the Soviet era. Now, these documents come out of the private library. They're marked not for distribution. They're marked confidential. They are marked protected by copyright law, but they're leaked anyway. We're going to break them to you. They come out of Senator Fred Harris's collection. He is a Democrat out of Oklahoma, still alive. I believe it is in his early 90s. He ended up being a two-term senator, but here he was in 1966, 2 years after being brought in, just on the heels of JFK's assassination. In 1964, he was groomed very early on to be a Bilderberg member. He, of course, was on the Senate Subcommittee on National Security and other branches. He was engaged in a study on the North Atlantic Treaty Organization and was on a subcommittee in the Senate which related to that. Now, that's why he was brought there, because that was the major topic of the 1966 meeting. Now, let's start here. We've got personal and strictly confidential, not for publication either in whole or in part, from the collection of the Honorable Fred Harris. Bilderberg Meetings, Wiesbaden Conference, March 25th, 1966. Yes, they used to have these meetings in March rather than late May, June, when they now currently have them. And so right here, we have a signed copy of the invitation to Senator Fred Harris out of Oklahoma, signed by the Prince of the Netherlands. He, of course, is the founder of Bilderberg. He was inspired to create the group by this man right here, Dr. Joseph Redinger. He was a Jesuit. He was a advocate of the secret steering groups. Now, Bilderberg itself, you have to understand, came out of the Cecil Rhodes roundtable model. Cecil Rhodes was one of these great robber barons. He basically conquered much of Africa. He created a false flag through the newspapers he owned in what used to be four territories in South Africa. He created the Boer War. He stirred it up himself personally using his top, very influential friends. They created conflict that led to Boer Wars number one and number two, and the state we now know as South Africa. He was hailed as a hero by the Queen, given all kinds of awards and designations, but more importantly, he worked with Victor Rothschild and other members, of the Rothschild family to set up these secret steering groups, the Cecil Rhodes roundtables. This became, in the United States, the Council on Foreign Relations. This became, in the UK, the Royal Institute on International Affairs. The other Western countries had their counterparts as well. Now, today, we see Russia having a Russian Institute on International Affairs. China now has a branch, and they steer so much a policy by meeting partially in public, partially in secret, with the most influential people in the world to dictate policy. Yes, Bilderberg does dictate policy. These documents support that claim. So does all of our research and history. Anyway, I'll read from the letter. It is short. It comes out of The Hague. The address for Prince of the Netherlands, that is Prince Bernhard. Today, his daughter, Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands, continues his legacy at Bilderberg. He sent it out in December 1965. I have the honor to invite you to the next Bilderberg meeting, which will be held at the Hotel Nasserhof at Wiesbaden, Germany, 25, 26, 27, March 1966. Then on page 2, he lists the agenda. It's quite short, but extremely important. Should NATO be reorganized, and if how? And point number 2, the future of world economic relations, especially between industrial and developing countries. We'll get to that in just a moment, but first I'll show you a few exhibits. Among these are the letters inviting Senator Harris, explaining the travel arrangements, and more. They come from the head of the U.S. branch of Bilderberg. It was Joseph E. Johnson in the 60s. Notice the letterhead, Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, a very important body. All these robber barons of the early 20th century were hated by the public for monopolizing industry and for lording it over the people. Their Pinkerton forces, in the case of the Rockefellers, killed people for going on strike, etc. But they learn how to use the growing PR mechanisms that Edward Bernays, Ivy Lee, and other experts set up to fool people and to think they were helping you, because they named their organizations things like Peace, International Peace, Carnegie Endowment. And so a very important arm of Bilderberg today. Jessica T. Matthews heads the Carnegie Endowment, so that trend continues. Anyway, he's inviting the American members to the meeting, telling them what to expect, and really telling them also who they can trust and talk to within the Senate. You will see in different letters here. And that's part of the larger trend of how our Congress was infiltrated, how they took over the country from within. It's not the outside enemy, it's the inside nefarious scheming. Particularly all these foundations, which were later investigated in the 50s, they tried to have those documents destroyed. People like Iserby did not let that happen. Thankfully, we have many of those documents now. Anyway, those are on file. Notice they come from Carnegie, First National, Citibank, all basically robber baron entities. I believe First National was connected to Rockefeller. If not, certainly someone important. I will set those aside. And we have hundreds of documents. You'll have to forgive me for trying to organize these on the air because there's so many. But, of course, we have here a lot of the handwritten notes from Senator Fred Harris inside the 1966 Bilderberg Conference. He's got headers here for each of the countries as they spoke and the different speakers. He's got names, of course, for the American delegates. In the case of many of the European delegates that he probably didn't know personally, he has either their country or how they were secretary or what have you for different entities. And handwriting is not always the easiest to read, but it's very important. You see recurrent themes about NATO, which again, Fred Harris was studying, the military integration, how it's necessary. That's from a UK delegate. The organizational aspects, and on about how nationalism is what's bad, how nationalism is contagious, how nationalism is part of this pre-1914 mentality. Right here, we have John J. McCloy. He happens to be a very important figure. He was a member of Skull and Bones, and he had a number of very high up posts. He was inside, of course, our governments. He was considered one of the wise men under JFK and Johnson and other presidents. He had positions including Assistant Secretary of War during World War II, but he was simultaneously a lawyer for I.G. Farben. He was responsible for policy for things like, should we bomb the trains that go to Auschwitz, which we now know were concentration camps? Well, ultimately, that didn't happen, and you have to ask yourself why. Was it because he was connected on the inside to I.G. Farben, where, I might add, Prince Bernhard, the founder of Bilderberg, was the head of IG Farben on the board. Well, it really speaks for itself because all these Skull and Bones members were caught funding the Nazi mechanism, not because they believed Hitler would conquer Europe, but because they wanted to integrate Europe by creating a boogeyman. At least that's what I believe after having studied it. When they got caught, they didn't really get caught because they had a mechanism in the Netherlands, where Prince Bernhard is from, in which they could quickly transfer assets from the Nazi mechanism back to the Anglosphere, the Atlantic sphere, based in the UK and the United States, and they indeed did that. Now, John J. McCloy was head of the World Bank. He was chairman of Chase Manhattan Bank, which is the Rockefeller organ. He was chairman of the Ford Foundation, chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations, and a member of the Warren Commission, so you could see some of his tentacles there. Anyway, in these handwritten notes from Senator Fred Harris, you see things about how de Gaulle and his nationalism could spread, how it's troubling, how nationalism stimulates nationalism, how this pre-1914 mentality is dangerous. He says, when you stress independence, flexibility, and nationalism, you're really going back to the pre-1914 mishmash. That, again, is a quote from Senator Fred Harris's handwritten notes while listening to the speeches at Bilderberg, in this case from John J. McCloy, in other cases from the other senators, from the other delegates, from the other people from this world government system they've been pursuing now for more than a century, how de Gaulle... And it's just repeated talk about de Gaulle, how the surging nationalism in France could spread to Germany, Western Germany, of course, at the time, and on, and how we urgently need NATO to be built up. That was the key, again, as I pointed out, on the agenda in the 1966 meeting. Here's some of the handwritten notes from the Austrian delegate, and they're all on the list right over here, I might add. 1 second while I find that list. At any rate, it goes on. Now, one of the most important delegates at this meeting was the United Auto Workers president. His name was Reuter. And his notes are coming up. And the point is, all the most important people inside U.S. foreign policy, which had become very hegemonic after World War II, were part of either secret societies or connected to these world government pursuing foundations that connect to the robber barons. And that is really how we were taken over from within. I think the last two presidents in this country were clearly Eisenhower and JFK. They both had their own baggage. They were not perfect people by any means. But I think by the end, they had both begun to figure out that we were not really working for America, but a foreign offshore interest, as Alex often terms it. Now, right here, we have Walter P. Reuther. He is the head of United Auto Workers. And again, here are Senator Fred Harris's notes from within that meeting. He says, quote, NATO is in trouble because common fears are reduced. And he says nationalism is dangerous. Nationalism is dangerous. Is underlined. Nationalism is the problem. We must pursue peace, world government, building community, regionalism, some of the others say in these notes. And it goes on and on. Of course, it's going to take some time to break down the handwritten notes. We're going to break, but we're going to be back still in overdrive with the special presentation of the leaked Bilderberg documents. They are from 1966. They come directly out of the meeting. Again, they include handwritten notes, memorandums, invitations, travel plans, and on the other side of this break, we're going to get into the policy papers that they presented at Bilderberg, who those speakers were, what they represent.
You could accept the fact that this city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament, Mr.
Yes.
Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Exactly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson.
We are back
live
at InfoWars.com.
Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones.
We are back at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. I'm Aaron Dykes. I've been traveling with Alex to the Bilderberg 2012 Summit. It's not just dogs and cats living together. It's socialist and so-called capitalist working behind the scenes to steer the world agenda. We're deep inside the leaked Bilderberg documents out of the 1966 conference from the Bilderberg meetings in Wiesbaden, Germany, and they are bombshell. We have, of course, the list. It's not only the founder, Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands, who later had to step down because of his bribery scandals. It's people from the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. It's David Rockefeller of the Chase Manhattan Bank and the World Empire. It's half a dozen or more of his emissaries and appointees at Standard Oil, at the other entities they control. It's important Europeans like Giovanni Agnelli of the Fiat Company, who helped build the European Union through the steel and coal community that they built and intended to grow. It's people like Marcus Wallenberg out of Sweden. Now today, his son Jacob Wallenberg still attends and still steers their agenda. On the U.S. side, we have a lot of important people, particularly out of the NATO sphere. Most of them are skull and bones or connected directly to it. Among them are the writers of that year's policy paper, Robert R. Bowie, Should NATO Be Reorganized and If So How, March 1966. And in this policy paper, Robert R. Bowie, who is a member of the CFR, who's a member of the Trilateral Commission, who attended these Bilderberg meetings and is a John J. McCloy acolyte, who we talked about on the other segment, wrote about how NATO should be built up, how the Atlantic Alliance should be fostered. Atlantic Alliance, of course, between the United States and the European sphere. Now, that should not only be a military counter threat to the Soviets, but that even if there weren't a Soviet threat, they should still use it to integrate Europe as they began under the Marshall Plan, the Schuman Plan, and much more. That's a 20-page policy paper, and it's just bombshell. Meanwhile, at the same meeting, they met on the development of finance in the international and developed world and discussed how it would continue to be steered. They use these agreements to bind the developing countries so they can suck out their resources for corporate gain and control the populations quite literally through food supply, through conditionalities that dictate the way the countries will develop. They do not have independence. They think national sovereignty is pure poison and that only world government is the future. Here's the other policy paper from the 1966 meeting, The Future of World Economic Relations, Especially Between Industrial and Developing Countries, by J. Ten Bergen. That is a professor who undoubtedly works directly for Prince Bernhard in 1966 out of Rotterdam, summarizing how entities including USAID, the Agency for International Development, the World Bank, the United Nations, and many others will control and dictate exports from the industrialized world and will figure out how to balance the growing world population by using food as a weapon. That later came out some 6, 7, 8 years later under Henry Kissinger and National State Memorandum number 200, where he literally said food as a weapon. Just disgusting stuff. And we've got other key members. The top delegates on the U.S. side were, of course, Joseph E. Johnson of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. He's in these documents inviting people like Senator Fred Harris, whose library these documents were leaked out of. There's also George W. Ball. He was Undersecretary of State under JFK, continued to be a key advisor under Johnson after JFK's death. And he is connected to and advising them. You can see in this document how, quote, in the past, it's been our custom to have Undersecretary of State George W. Ball advising the American delegation. It goes on, Ball is one of the architects of the Vietnam War. He told JFK in 5 years, we'll have 300,000 troops in Vietnam. JFK told him he was crazy and it would never happen. Basically, over my dead body. And I think you can connect the dots from there. There's other important stuff, but you see here how the NATO document written by the Skull and Bones related acolytes, Should NATO Be Reorganized, was echoed in the Atlantic Community Quarterly, the NATO Journal, how it was echoed in Senate hearings, the Atlantic Alliance Treaty and Related, and how their fellow wise men buddies like Dean Acheson gave hearings and testimonies based directly on what was written about, discussed, and decided inside the Bilderberg meetings. That's all we're going to bring you for today. We'll give you even more detail from these bombshell leaking documents coming up. We'll go back now to Alex's live coverage from the road, Bilderberg 2012, our return trip, debriefing
from
you
the on march, what we
learned. InfoWars.
The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.